What's poppin', everybody? We're in the DealsIndeed.com studios on the Tuesday broadcast. And coming up real soon, Noel Monk, the manager of Van Halen from 1978 to 1985. We've got Mark and Trudy and Brandon and Jay. And plenty else going on, too, as always. Yesterday was an interesting show with Frankie Valli's lady friend.
Yeah.
And the Disney geek. What is wrong with that guy, by the way?
He likes magic. He likes to be
pixie dust.
I don't know. He's got a lot of time on his hands.
I don't know. I think he's just obsessed with the streak. Because it doesn't any sense to me why anybody would go there every day. I mean, it's not bordering on stupid. It's just stupid.
I was going to say, nobody would.
And I don't think he was being straight about the, you know, how he's referring to it being such a convenient triangle.
It's not at all. Look at him on a map.
No, he was just rationalizing his stupidity. He doesn't even take kids very often either. That was the other thing. Anyway, moving on.
Going to the fireworks?
Of course. We're going to rush over there right after.
There's only 300 spots left.
I got there this morning at 8 o'clock and reserved a spot. No, actually, somebody was there at 7:30 this morning.
Oh, my God.
Some lady who was bragging about she always has the same spot. Ooh.
Wow.
Where did you see her at?
She was on Channel 7 News, I think, or Channel 4 News.
Channel 4 had some people that were there early, and they showed the person sitting in their spot, and there was nothing but green grass around them.
Yeah, it wasn't that crowded. There's no reason to get there.
You're the only one down there.
They were there live at 4 o'clock, and there was nobody there.
Yeah.
I mean, there was more cops than anything. I really don't understand. The people that go before 2 o'clock park across from the island and walk all their shit in.
Oh my God.
Hike it all the way down?
Yes.
My God.
They carry all their crap.
And they take tents and coolers.
Exactly.
And
grills.
They're going to be there forever. So they need their whole life there.
Here you go. Here's the people that got there early.
Hi, Jamie. Karen, we'll call those people the first settlers. Cars weren't allowed on the island until this afternoon. So instead of waiting, they walked across the bridge.
Stupid.
That's how you know they really love fireworks.
The Ford fireworks blast off just after the sun sets, but these few faithful...
Look at that. There's the guy. Nothing but green around him.
So alone.
And by the way, if you had all that space to pick from, why would you put your chair there? Would you move it close? Like, I want to go and just put my chair right in front of him. Because it'd be a better spot. There's 10 yards from that spot to the water?
It's ridiculous.
Again, camping out sometime around sun up. Are you the first one on Belle Isle today?
No, not quite.
What time did you get here?
12 o'clock.
You know the fireworks are like 11 hours from now.
Right, yeah. Well, the kids come out here and enjoy themselves all day long. They have a lot of fun. We were out here last year.
Since cars aren't allowed on the island until 2 p.m., the plan for these folks was simple. Unpack the car across the river, then walk across the bridge, then take your pick of great vantage points.
We just wanted to get a good spot because usually when we come out here, it's always packed.
This family gets
no, it's not.
They were the very first ones here. We know this because other campers confirmed it.
We was packed and had everything ready to go. We got here about 7:30. We got our chairs.
7:30.
And my husband has all his fishing gear, and this is our... layout for the
toilet
food.
Paper.
So what do you do for all that time before it gets dark? Well, you enjoy some rest and relaxation with your family.
Why is it worth it to you to sit down here for 10 hours?
It's not.
Because I love fireworks and taking pictures of good, beautiful things.
Oh.
Yes, and plenty of pictures to take. It's a beautiful day. Since cars have been allowed on the island, you could see it's filled in quite considerably.
No, it's not filled in at all.
What are you talking about?
No one there.
Plenty of space.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about what makes the perfect campsite. Now, I'm telling you, people have been doing this for years and years, and there's still room.
Just from last year's story, this is so stupid to expend these resources on these dopes.
Except Devin and Kim are set up down there, and the wind is just playing havoc with both of their hair.
Oh, no. Devin's performing tonight.
Hers. I know.
I was furious, by the way. Right, Trudy?
Yeah, you were.
Did you see the interview they did at 6 o'clock?
No.
You know, the first 6 minutes is basically a plug for the show being on at night.
Oh, right. By the way, the fireworks people are doing something that's never been done before.
Oh, technology? With technology?
Yes.
Wow.
Whatever.
They're going to do a second time, just so you know that it really happened.
Oh, okay. And let me guess. I got to catch it from the very beginning. That's what he said.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm quite certain that's always the case.
So they have on here, you know, the guy from the parade company, which is fine. But then they also have, you know, one of the title sponsors, the guy from Blue Cross Blue Shield. So my first thought was, why are my rates going up 30% next year?
Yeah.
And then
sponsoring the fireworks.
And then, but in all honesty, healthcare is a pretty big story today.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to lob them a softball about it?
No. Not when they're the paying sponsor.
Of course not. But this is supposed to be the 6 o'clock news.
No, I know. It's so silly. I got to tell you, I'm hearing some things about TV news around here, particularly a couple stories that just aren't getting covered because, you know, the city has some things to dole out for sponsorships, like the fireworks, and there are certain stories they don't like. And so they, you know, you're not seeing a lot of negativity about Detroit anymore.
No.
On the news.
It's banned.
It's usually a lot of crime and, you know, the kind of stuff Charlie was doing, for example.
Hard-hitting, intricate news.
Yeah, which used to cause a lot of problems. I mean,
you're supposed to challenge them, though.
Oh, well, yeah,
hold
duh.
Feet why, to would the fire.
Have, why would you have investigative reporters if you weren't going to use them? There was a story. I think we're just a couple minutes away from Noel. He's calling us in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Did you happen to see the story about the fireworks laws? You know how they allow us to sell fireworks now in Michigan?
Yep.
Right.
And in the story, this is really pissing me off, by the way. Jim Fouts now in Warren. He's now just referred to normally like he's just the mayor and there's nothing weird about him.
Yeah.
It just is completely gone poof. That never happened.
Can't they add a tag of like misogynist, racist?
No, they don't.
Adobe Cellophane player.
You can do it by user. Adobe Cellophane player.
Beta tester for Adobe Cellophane player.
Anyway, it's just a story about how hard they enforce the laws in Warren and how he drives around on the 4th of July with the police.
Dick.
Oh, my God.
To Dick. Nail people. Fouts will be patrolling the streets with police and enforcing laws he has on the 4th of July in the past that he hopes to see either eliminated or drastically changed. Ever since the new state law, Fouts said, the fireworks have been louder, lasted longer, and been more lethal.
I'm sure the police...
And I hate handicapped people.
I'm sure the police he rides along with are just thrilled that he's with them.
Oh, he would be such a... He's such a drag.
Oh, yeah.
But he's made it through this thing. He's just... He showed up to give those people awards that day, and nobody said anything. It's just everything's just fine. It's just good old mayor again. It's crazy.
One way to get him to go home would be for them to just lay siege to
have a bunch
cars.
Of reporters meet them as they're getting
swarm
out to hassle somebody. That'd be great.
Yeah, wait, no, the reporters should just light off a bunch of fireworks in Warren, and then he'll show up.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Then they can ask him about it.
Let me get this in before Noel calls. Noel, by the way, writing Running with the Devil about managing Van Halen, a backstage pass, the wild times, loud rock, and the down and dirty truth behind the making of Van Halen. Noel E. Monk. And he wrote a book about the Sex Pistols, too. He actually went on tour with them, that 12-day tour in America.
Yeah.
Which was quite a debacle. I bet that's a good book. I'd be kind of curious to see that. Anyway, here's a deal so ridiculous, Maz might even pay attention. Starting today and ending Wednesday, July 5th, lease a new 17 Ford Fusion or Ford Escape for $99 a month. Yes, get a brand new, not used Ford Fusion or Escape under $100 a month. Guys, you know, the only place this is possible is from our fabulous friends at Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com. Zot Ford and Holly is one of the largest F-150 dealers in our area, so they can offer listeners ridiculous deals. Right now, purchase a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab XLT 4x4 at just $33,000. That's over $14,000 off sticker. Or lease a new 17 F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 at just $199 a month. Check out their ferocious deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Plus, it's the final week to get your name in the hat to have dinner with us. So swing by Zot Ford before it's too late. Don't forget, when you buy or lease a new or used vehicle, you triple your chance of winning. So there. And on to vaginal rejuvenation with Dr. Roche.
Yeah.
Dr. Roche has the solution. It's fast. It works. He welcomes a revolutionary non-surgical walk-in, walk-out treatment for vaginal rejuvenation. It's almost painless, low risk, requires no downtime. It's suitable for most women and offers alternative to quiet suffering for some women. Immediate results, too. This simple procedure will change your life. Women who had children or experiencing menopause are great candidates for vaginal resurfacing to improve the quality of their vaginal tissues. The treatment lasts about 3 to 5 minutes. Patients may choose between 1 to 3 procedures spaced 4 weeks apart. Diva tightens the vaginal wall. It does a lot of really nice things.
I feel totally awkward talking
about
it.
It's really kind of weird. Diminishing urinary incontinence. That seems pretty huge to me.
Yeah. And
increases pleasure during sexual intercourse. Yay! Diva will rejuvenate your internal parts. But what about the outside? That's where Diva Tight comes in. With age, childbirth, genetics, and weight gain, we lose laxity in the skin and the vaginal region, leaving us...
Okay. Puts it back.
It fixes it all up. Mm-hmm. So Diva Tight will tighten the area, and the end result will be a more youthful appearance. It's funny, when they're talking about appearance, it's like somebody, you know, something everyone sees every day.
You look 10 years younger down there, girlfriend.
Yeah, how sweet is that?
Good job.
So, why don't you call for a consult? I mean, people are doing this. And the G-Shot, too. The G-Shot sounds fantastic. Oh, boy, the pictures. they're just a little bit close. The G-Shot is something that... well, we had our one guest on who was digging that G-Shot. She said she was having quite a bit of excitement doing things even that didn't involve the normal excitement.
Everybody should be for this, too, because for guys, you know... makes you into a big hero, and for women, you get all the enjoyment that you get out of sex.
It's good for everybody.
Did you see the updated before and after from yesterday?
Oh, I did not. Is this something I'm going to enjoy? The updated. Oh, pfft. Oh,
God. What? I don't know. I'm going to
have a look-see for yourself.
He does amazing work.
You'll be really impressed, Mark. Trust me.
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
I know. What is that?
You know, it's funny.
I got to look.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Be my guest.
Oh, really?
He does excellent work.
Just think blue waffle.
Noel's calling, too.
Noel's calling?
Ah! The hell?
Trudy separated herself from that piece of paper very quickly.
It appears that Jay took a picture.
Oh my God!
The infamous blue waffle picture, and put that as a before and the after. See, it's funny. The after picture looks really nice, but everybody focuses on the bad one.
I know. That's all I saw. Nice. It's funny too. Brandon sent me some stories today, including the two MME girls.
Oh God!
The one girl defecated. She was being choked.
Yeah,
and she was trying to suck it up and be tough, and she defecated. Oops. And the camera focuses totally on what she did.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's all you see is the mat and where it
happens. She needs to have her boholio tightened up.
Maybe there's some diva action for her, too. But what a bummer. I mean, she lost the match, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you suppose was worse, losing the match or the fact that everyone is focusing? I mean, there's a story about it. The fact that she took a shit during an MMA fight.
She already responded on Twitter and said, "Shit happens." I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good comeback.
I'll be back and blah. I mean, she's laughing it off.
That's a good response.
It's a good comeback.
I'm impressed with her.
I mean, it's gross, and she's always going to be known as that.
I know, it was really gross. Yeah. It was. Although there wasn't really huge evidence of it. I think most of the evidence stayed in her outfit.
Oh.
I think.
Oh.
I hope.
Well, spandex sometimes.
They wrap a towel around her? How did they get her out of the ring?
I'm sure how they handled all that.
No. Noel. Noel's song.
Oh, Noel's music.
No, I think we'll skip that one.
Take two. Noel Monk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's Michael Anthony. Nice.
Sweet. My Noel notes.
The.
Running with.
Best.
The devil. Noel Monk.
God, he loves
the author,
song.
The manager of Van Halen.
Hi.
Whoa.
Hey, Noel, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
pretty good. I have to say, as I read your book, it seemed like at first I thought, why did it take him so long to write that book? And then as I was reading, I'm thinking, it would not be easy to revisit all this. That was a rough 7 years.
A rough 7 years, and it could have been 900 pages, but there was a lot that I had to cut out, but most of it's in there.
Yeah. Have you heard from any of the guys? Because it didn't sound like there was much contact after your run was over, which is really too bad.
No, I really haven't heard from them.
David's responded.
What are they doing now?
David responded on Twitter.
What did David say?
Huh?
David responded on Twitter and put the word book.
I thought David responded really well. I was proud of him.
What did he say?
He made a joke about, for all your questions, the answer is yes. Absolutely.
No, my lawyer told me to shut up.
Yeah. Just fine.
Yeah, he did not fare well in the book. I would say if because it's funny, I'm a Van Halen fan, but your book, I mean, reading a lot of pages on Van Halen like that, it was able to influence me in how I feel about these guys, because I don't feel that strongly about it one way or the other going into the book. I just like the band. I mean, they're not my favorite band, but I just really thought David Lee Roth comes off so, so badly. And that was no accident, I assume. I mean, you wrote the thing.
I just wrote what happened. I had no axe to grind.
Yeah.
I got no reason to be nice, to be not nice. That's what happened. What can I say?
It sounded like the world's worst babysitting job.
Great way to put it.
No, I had worse. I just did the Pistol tour before that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? That was a lot worse. Well, that was a short tour, though. I mean, that was a one shot deal, right?
Yeah, but that was. Well, I got along with Sid real well. We were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all babysitting jobs when you're dealing with these people.
Yeah, really. I mean, honestly, it sounds kind of pathetic as you read about it. But, you know, again, this is why we think it's cool, because these guys get to act like teenagers for their entire professional lives if they can pull it off, you know, if they're good enough, and they were good. And by the way,
were great. They were a brilliant live band. I haven't seen better. I haven't seen anyone jump off a drum riser, go 15 feet in the air and do a split. You do that, and you got a band.
In a jumpsuit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what, you know, a band is better than the sum of its parts, and they clearly were. It was a unique lineup of guys. I thought, you know, by the end of the book, I felt like you really have two guys who were just plain assholes and serious babysitting jobs. Eddie seemed like your favorite. I mean, you really had a place in your heart for him. And Michael Anthony just seemed like a fantastic guy. I mean, you got to have that one guy who has some level of sanity. He married his high school girlfriend. It sounded like he was pretty loyal to her. Alex Van Halen, I guess that's the one that surprised me, because it sounded like Alex Van Halen really started your demise, or he's the one that really worked your demise.
Alex became a total asshole. And it's ironic, because in the beginning he was easygoing. First couple years we go out to lunch, dinner, hang out. And this is my own feeling. I think I kind of describe it in the book, but, you know, if you had a brother that was a couple years younger than you, but was a genius, and you had to put up with that all those years, and you were just a good drummer, and you could be replaced by Schmegaggy. Well, you kind of feel, same as drummer.
Okay.
He's known as well as Alex. Alex, you know, was nothing exceptional. He wouldn't have been there if he wasn't Edward's brother.
Yeah.
And that burns a hole in his little head. After a while, he starts drinking. After a while, he thinks he's, well, you know what he thinks.
Yeah.
What do you make of the way they treated Michael? Michael Anthony.
Well, Michael was the nicest guy going. Never gave me a problem. You know how I feel. Those are the shittiest thing I'd ever seen done. Mm-hmm.
Did you try
you
to?
Don't do
did you,
that to people,
Michael or Noel? Did you try to step in and say, "Hey guys, you can't just cut this guy out. You've already sold. They'd already sold a couple million copies of 1984 when they backdated this thing, basically, to cut him out of any royalties." I mean, did you try to?
That's what they did.
Did you try to go to bat for him?
You can. I mean, there's four guys in the band. Three want to do it. Three are, you know, basically cruel mothers. And I can't say, you three are wrong, you can't do that to him. Unless Michael had come to me, which I really wanted him to do. And my answer to, see, they all, Edward, David, Al would come to me. Michael never did. I had an answer for him. Don't sign it. Tear it up and say, I can't play tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been a different story. Well, they couldn't have played without him. But Michael never stood up for himself. I can't stand up for him. He's a sweetie pie, but you can't be a sweetie pie and do something really as bad as that to yourself. If you let three people walk all over you, nothing I can do.
Well, let me ask you something.
There wasn't anyone. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to say, you know, you describe Alex as being easily replaceable as a drummer. How good did you think Michael Anthony was in terms of a bass player? I always thought his vocals, his backing vocals were great, but I'm not really sure. How good a bass player was he?
He was a good backing. He could have been replaced as quick as Alex, but okay. Not with his voice.
Yeah.
His vocals were incredible. They made up for a lot of David stuff. And you couldn't have brought someone in overnight to replace Michael. It couldn't have been done.
Yeah,
and
I get it.
And that's why I say all they had to do was say, hey, I'm taking tonight off, and they would have been screwed.
Well, that was probably the second, maybe that's the worst thing in the book. I was going to say the Spark-O-Matic deal, you know, you asked them about sponsorship.
They only lost $250,000. What's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is, you know, you go to the trouble to negotiate this. It was a fairly new thing at the time. Some guys were doing it. $1.2 million is pretty good. And David Lee Roth just happens to be the guy you talk to, and he says, Levi's Marlboros or Marlboro or fuck it, and, you know, hangs up the phone, basically. And then Alex comes back, what, a couple weeks later and says, maybe we should, can you get that deal back? Which is just so comical. Supertramp had already signed the deal,
ooh,
I think.
Yeah. Bitter pill.
You know, David, he'd come in, he was sweet, happy, wonderful, bright. He'd come in, he was pain in the ass, nasty and mean, and you never knew which one you got. And I happened to pull the wrong straw.
Yeah!
But you got to be a real, I mean, and David's very bright, very sharp, and obviously, that's only half of David, because that was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen.
Huh. Well, the first dumbest thing they did, though, was sign the contract that indebted them to Warner for life, that you got them out of.
Yeah, but you're right. But that wasn't their fault. Their lawyer, their manager, their accountant wanted to be friends with Warner Brothers. That was the name of that game. And what's the best thing to do? Mo was the one that put their manager in place. And, you know, I kiss you, you kiss me. And he screwed them blue. To break that deal, I had to really think. And doing that, I made them $20, $40 million, maybe more over the lifetime of the band.
Well, let's just say.
But then they never. They never even said, thank you.
No,
they did.
It didn't sound like they were.
A nightstick.
It did not sound like they were terribly appreciative of your work, which, you know, which you described in the book. And I couldn't help wondering, Let's just say that you had continued to manage Van Halen for the next 15 years. What do you think? Is there anything you think would have been different, or you would have done differently that was obvious? Because they, you know, they did get a new singer and it worked out pretty well. But was there anything that you saw, or did you even pay attention to, or did you just kind of close the book on Van Halen?
I wouldn't have done a darn thing different. Everything I did, I got to say, was right. Alex said you stole. I didn't steal. They did a line audit on me, which they made me pay 20% for. And Bastards. They didn't find one penny out of place in 7 years because I don't steal. I made them into a huge merchandising company where normally you get 25%. They were getting 50%. There's nothing I would have changed except, well, how can you take someone's vocal cords out and have them still talk? You know?
But how about after you left? Did you see anything that you would have done differently, or did you feel like they did okay?
No.
No, okay.
No, I saw it coming. You know, when Edward's sitting on your lap with a bottle of vodka, you know, gram of Coke, and my wife sitting there watching him, hugging me, telling me he loves me, and then in his stupor, he makes a mistake by saying, I love you, Noel. You know, I don't care what Al says.
Oh.
Okay, you can kind of guess where that's going. You know, by that point, the writing was on the wall. Al wanted me out. He wanted his new wife's sister's husband to manage the band, who happened to be a nice guy. He's a Canadian.
How does Alex have the power to do that, though? Alex is the, like you said, he's an average drummer. How did he pull that off? I would have thought Eddie or Ross.
He's Edward's brother. Yeah. You know.
Okay. Jeez, stupid.
Sorry.
You know, he's tied to his dick. What can I say?
Hey, speaking of dicks, the manager, the original manager, filmed all these sexcapades with David. And
yeah, I read about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you said David has about, 3/4 of them. Who has the other quarter of the tapes? So where are those at?
I don't know. Marshall once gave me one.
Did you watch it?
And I had seen the ones that he had made up. He had taken them all from 8mm to DVD. And I saw those. They're pretty cute. Those. You know, I got a free one with every 100 records. But, you know, it wasn't to be.
Did David Lee Roth discriminate in the women that he liked? Or was it all kinds of women?
Yeah. If you sat down, you pissed, and you had nice tits. That's about it.
Oh, so he's a breast man.
Yeah, well, no, any. You didn't have big tits, you know.
Well, it sounded like Alex Van Halen did the most, in terms of groupies, it sounded like, maybe I'm just thinking about one part of the book, but I thought you said Alex Van Halen would have led the band in women.
Well, you got to understand, Alex had to do something. You know, and he had to be brilliant at something.
Yeah.
And that was his forte.
And drinking.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
But anyone that sees huge penises coming out of the wall has dementia breakup, he got a problem.
He was hallucinating that penises were coming out of the wall.
The ironic part was my wife was listening to him. It wasn't like me making this shit up.
Yeah. And he tried to hit on your wife, too, which is really disturbing. I mean,
yeah, that was sweet of him. But I got to say, he had taste there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's very pretty. I agree. Yeah.
His first couple wives, I don't know how many he's got now, but I couldn't even talk about that. I would have gotten arrested.
They gave you a 6-month contract when you jumped into Marshall's shoes, and it seemed that's.
No, I had a month to a month.
Months to
and
month.
And they said, "We'll get you a real contract in a couple of months." And I kept asking him for it. It's going to happen, though. It never happened. I was on month to month. And
why wouldn't you just walk away from that?
What?
Why wouldn't you just kind of walk away? I mean, that seems like a terrible situation.
From month to month?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're paying me seven figures, I'll take it. No, I know I'm bending over to grab my ankles, but, you know, not much I can do about it, you know. Basically, Alan and Edward, when Edward could think, which is very unusual, brilliant guitar player, mentally defective.
Hmm. Yeah, he sounds like a 15-year-old to this day. I mean, we interviewed
you're
Edward.
You're giving him a couple years.
Okay, 13. No, we interviewed
there
him.
There you go.
He was all over the place. He and Roth, David Lee Roth is one of the hardest people to interview because he doesn't listen, first of all.
Yeah.
And Eddie seemed extremely ADD to me when we talked to him. Both of them are very strange to talk to. Sammy was by far the best guy to interview of those three, but, you know, I didn't work with him the way you did. This is off the sort of the Van Halen menu, but you told a story in there about a little backstage fight when they were with Journey and Montrose, and somebody threw a big bowl of guacamole, and I guess it's Steve Perry, in the head and got all over his beautiful jacket. And everybody's expecting, you know, this rage, you know, from the lead singer of the top band on the tour. But no, it sounded like he was crying.
Oh, my God.
He was crying. Lord. I don't blame him. It was a sateen jacket. Come on. You got to get your priorities straight. This is a beautiful new Journey jacket.
Oh, no.
Sateen.
Yeah.
He was only a lead singer. They never would have given him another one. And think about his hairdo. I mean, be real. This guy got really hurt. His hair got hurt. His jacket got hurt.
His ego.
It hurt his feelings.
Yeah, poor baby.
And Van Halen.
I mean, you're not taking these guys seriously.
I guess not. And Van Halen made $750 a night for that tour with Journey and Montrose.
They didn't make that. They were making $25 a day per diem. The management took all the money home.
Oh, did they? Wow.
Which
somebody
wasn't a lot.
Yeah. Somebody,
you know,
made money.
And, you know, the record company. They were screwing them blue for the first 2 years till I broke that contract. When you figure how much I doubled their royalty rate from 75 cents a record to $1.35.
Sweet.
Now, you tell me how much money I made them over 25 years.
Yeah. No, it's I got to tell you, in reading the book, and I assume you sound like a pretty straight guy. You don't seem to hold anything back. I couldn't really understand what the beef was. It's obviously just a family thing, but it makes for a nice book, because if you were still with him, of course, we wouldn't have this nice book to read.
Right.
But going back to Eddie, you know, when he meets Valerie, and you describe it as the high school quarterback meeting, you know, the head cheerleader or whatever, you know, this cute couple, they're both, Eddie's really awkward.
I think he was more a tight end, but go ahead.
After they got married, you referred to one time Valerie was on the road, and she said something that sort of indicated she didn't understand. It sounded like she was very naive, like she didn't think Eddie misbehaved on the road. How bad? What did Eddie change his ways at all after he married Valerie, or was it just right back to the old bacchanal as soon as he got back out on the road?
I think he, after that wedding, he changed for at least a week.
Wow.
And I'm not sure it was that long, but I think that was took him to sober up from the wedding.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Valerie's complaint to my wife was, how come you come on tour and you only get laid once?
Oh, that's right.
Well, most women didn't have that experience. But I don't know. I don't like to get in between the two of them. Because talk about naive. That was where they were totally in sync. I mean, we're not talking about Rhodes Scholars here, you know.
Hey, Noel.
You know, we're looking at definite third grade.
Well,
I would say summa cum laude.
Okay.
We were watching the US Festival the other day because it's the one that's on. thoroughly entertaining.
You're hitting my buttons today.
Why is that?
Noel wasn't too happy.
The US Festival. I'll tell you one thing. People ask me, what was the best show you ever saw? And I stand and answer. It's the other way around. What is the worst show you ever saw? And I would say they never did a bad show. Never. They could be so screwed up that their three eyes would be rolling in their head, and they could play like nobody. That's they right, never baby. Did a bad show except the US Festival. And then they just... It was the worst show I'd ever seen.
Well, wasn't it Roth mostly?
None of them were stellar. I mean, it's like, you know, we're not talking about good, bad. Actually, I just spoke to Steve Mandel, who was the our publicist, who was a great guy. And I left for Steve with David before the show and said, you know, can you watch him? And he looked at me like, out of your bloody mind, Noel. It was a mistake, because I came back and there was David, and he saw three of me, and he was doing interviews. And the interviewers were just cracking up, because he didn't make three coherent sentences, period.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the only bad show they ever did.
How much?
What do you expect for $1,550,000?
How much of his stage banter? I mean, obviously, when the little person comes out with the whiskey bottle is pre-planned. How much of his stage banter and the things he says does David Lee think of before the show?
Oh, let's put it this way, David. Kind of scripts it out in his head, and he says about 80% of the same thing every night, but he does, you know, change up a bit, you know. Since everyone only sees one show, they think it's unbelievably spontaneous, but, you know, most acts are like that. They're not going to give you a spontaneous show every night. They can't.
Did he ever get the Did he ever get the city wrong or anything like that? Like, I love you, San Jose.
Yeah, what?
Did he ever get the city wrong, like when he was talking to the crowd?
Wrong city?
I didn't get the first part of that. Oh, no. That's kind of funny because my lawyer was watching him, and David, right before we would go on, he would, at the bottom of the stairs, he would always kneel down. And I was standing next to him, and he'd kneel down. And my lawyer came up to me and said, Noel, is he praying? I said, no, he's trying to remember what city he's in. Because if he couldn't really remember it, he would ask me. But, you know, David was a very bright, sharp guy, a third of the time.
Well, you know, nobody will ever understand why he left this band. Obviously, he and Eddie just were at odds at the end, in spite of putting out their best album, 1984. You describe being on that last, you guys are in Europe, I think doing some of the last shows you were on. And David wants to play this cassette of him doing California Girls. And I remember, you know, as I'm reading that, I remember back when that happened. And I didn't really remember the order of events, but I would have assumed that he never played that stuff to Van Halen. But he did. He played it all to the band. What the hell did they think it was?
what it was, piece of shit.
I mean, did they think he's doing a side project,
now,
or did they
David,
think...
remember, David didn't have Edward do the music. I mean, I people disagree with me, but without Ed or David, there's no Van Halen. You can have a Van Chiron, a Van Hiccup, a Van whatever, but you can't take away David, and you can't take away Edward and call it Van Halen. Because without the two of them, it's not going to happen. You know, I'd like to see anyone jump off that drum riser, do a split. When they came down, Van ever who it was would be in the hospital.
But he's playing you know? That. But he's Benoli's playing that cassette to people. Was he in his mind? Was he already had he already left the band, or did he just think? Hey, did he really think the guys were going to think it was cool, or what do you think was going through his head? I know that's a really hard question to ask.
I was going to say, you know, if I could read mine, I thought it was the dumbest movie ever made. But then he's made some other ones that were equally as foolish.
Yeah.
But I didn't get it because I really believed in 83 that we would make an album like 84 and go on for another 5 or 10 years. And really be the biggest band in the world. We didn't get to where we should have been. And that's the one thing that broke my heart. I didn't get that band to where they were the best they could be.
They did sell 10 million copies of that 84. I mean, they were on their way. It seemed like things were really, the future was very bright at that point. Because the first four albums were...
Well, you said it. They were on... their way. They hadn't gotten there yet. Another couple years, you wouldn't have believed what they could have done. This is all from me.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, I've been watching them. I saw hundreds of their shows, and I watched them progress from 78 to 84, and their progression was incredible. If they weren't, you know, deep snow skiers, they would have progressed better. But that's the thing that hurt the most. Breaking that band up, you know, at this point, it's a joke. You got a fantasy band out there who's making some manager a fortune on a nostalgia. I mean, these guys are embarrassing themselves. I mean, they should just get in their rocking chairs and wheelchairs and go home. You know, but they're making $250 a night a ticket.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So when they didn't screw everybody in 84, they're making up for it now.
Are they out there now? Does anybody know? Are they touring now?
They're going to be out again if they can figure out who's screwing who the best in the band.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that 2017 show was, come on, if you saw the 1982 show,
yeah,
there was no comparison.
Oh, they were great
I
band.
I mean, did you see David jump? About, what, 4 inches?
You love
and
that.
He did kick. I saw him do a kick, and he looked like, you know, something out of a chorus line. You know? I was embarrassed. I saw a little bit, turned it off, and said, you know, they're making a lot of money. I guess they're not that stupid. But they really are embarrassing themselves.
I really thought with Sammy they were a good band. I enjoyed Sammy. I didn't have the whole, you know, oh, they suck without Roth, or it's got to be Roth or nobody. I thought Sammy did a nice job. I mean, he was off to a big head start because he had a career and they had a great thing going. But I thought the Sammy Hagar thing worked pretty well.
Well, you can think whatever you want.
Yeah! I don't know what the record sales say, and that's not the definitive thing anyway, but they sold records with Sammy. They toured.
Well, you know, yeah. You know, I like his goatee myself. If
very
he
attractive.
Put a little black in there, he could have a regular pubic hair going down there. You know, I never thought the guy was good looking, but, you know, we're in the sheep area here.
Well, hey.
But I love the guy. You know, guy might,
of course you do.
You know, hey, I never met him, and I never spoke to him. I never listened to anything he did. But aside from that, bloody guy was incredible.
Yeah. Did Edward?
I would spend $250 to watch him screw up.
Oh my God. Did Edward and David Lee ever have any personal chemistry with each other? I mean, they were great on stage. Performance chemistry was good, but...
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like, it sounds like a no.
No one's getting married backstage, but as long as they can do what they could do on stage, that's it. They were brilliant on stage. One of the best band I work with, the Stones, The Who, The Ooh. Airplane, Ooh. Every... I mean, I did Johnny Cash's tours in Europe. And
wow.
You know, I was pouring Southern Comfort in 68 to Janis Joplin.
Oh.
We were a good friend, The Grateful Dead.
Wow.
When I was working for Bill Graham, it was fun time. That was real party time.
Who did you have the most fun with? What band over your whole career?
Oh, boy.
Is it still the Sex Pistols?
That's real hard to say. I wouldn't call it fun. You know, but...
Looking back...
Johnny Cash.
Cool
Joan
guy.
Baez. I tell you, the Moody Blues, one of the nicest, sharpest bands I ever worked with.
The Moody Blues, really?
I lived in England for 3 years, and I got to work with them for a year.
What years were that? What years was that, Noel?
That was 1970 to 73.
It doesn't seem like the Moody Blues would give you any trouble.
No trouble.
They seem
nice
kind of heavy.
Guy.
Yeah, smart guys, for sure.
And I had dealt with them at the Fillmore in 68. With that Mellotron, that ain't in the neck machine.
Well, they did okay for themselves. The Moody's had a pretty nice career. Do they exist?
They deserve it.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
They owned the town they lived in. You know, they were the nicest bunch of guys.
Are the Moody's out there? Did they do something?
I hung out and got drunk with them. I mean, hey, I had a tough job that tour.
Hey, Noel, you worked with Hendrix, right?
I did.
All right.
For a little while.
I'm sure you've been asked before. Eddie or Jimmy, who's better?
Oh.
I can't answer that. You know, they're different, and they're both brilliant. I don't take anything away from Edward. The guy is a brilliant, brilliant guitar player. And I take nothing away from Jimmy. He is a brilliant, brilliant guitar player. Now, of the two things I just said, which do you think I like better?
The one that's brilliant.
There you go. All right. You're happening tonight, baby.
Noel, I have to say your outspokenness is quite refreshing. It's been great to talk to you. It's really a nice book. It's a good read. It's rock and roll. I love a good rock and roll book, and I poured through this thing. I read start to finish. Usually it seems like I don't get to quite finish these things by the interview, but I really enjoyed it, and it was great to talk to you tonight.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I hope the
Most
book...
people don't even want to talk to me anymore. I don't make enough.
I hope the book's doing well for you.
Actually, I love it. I get this, you know, basically, I'm just having a good time.
Good.
And I do appreciate you folks. You know what you're doing. Good interviewers. Can't complain about you guys.
Well, that's
could, an, I would, but I won't.
I know you would. I'm sure you'd tell us to our faces, so I appreciate I'll take that as a compliment.
Why not? that. If you turn around, you could give me a back kick. Come on. Nah, you guys are good.
Well, thank you.
And you see, in Detroit, unlike here in Colorado, you're born with a concealed carry permit.
Yep.
Here, you've got to apply for one. That's your big difference in Detroit. And anyhow,
we'll take it.
I don't want to take up any more of your time. Have a great evening. And I'm just expecting a couple of hitmen over here soon.
Hey, no, it's really
have a good evening. Folks.
It's been fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Noel.
Have a good one. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Well. Bye-bye.
Oh man, he was great. I love the guy.
Brandon had a great Separate at Birth with him.
You know, I heard it. I don't know who it is, but I know it's somebody. Who is it?
Big Magic Johnson. He sent a little Donald Sterling-esque.
Yeah, there is a Sterling. Definitely.
Especially the way the sentences would trail off at the end sometimes.
Big Magic. That's really funny.
After you told me that, Brandon, though,
Johnson, what has he done?
That's all I could hear.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
I just.
See? See how it trails off there?
Yeah, that's what I was hearing.
I just love the way he didn't back down from anything.
Yeah.
No,
a lot of times you get these guys on after they write a book like this and they go, well, you know, he wasn't that bad, but he was sticking to his guns. And
the Lost Ozzy chapter was very funny, I thought.
Oh, about them touring with Sabbath?
Yeah. I force read that to Joey today. He was like, can I read this from you? No. I was like, I'm going to read it anyway. And Ozzy, just like in a fog, thought he was in a different room, and then by coincidence it's open, and then he passes out for 2 days.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Ozzy hammered, goes back to the hotel, and somehow his key opens the wrong room.
Right.
And so they can't find him. They cancel the show, right?
They had to. Well, they went to Noel and the promoter of the show, and he goes, hey, do you think that the band could come out and kind of play a little, how did they put that?
Oh, like, background music, little background music while he canceled the show?
Yeah, well, I decided to tell people that in Nashville that Ozzy's not coming out.
No, I don't think we'll do that.
Like,
I think we'll pass.
He goes, okay, let me check with the guys. And then he went back and he told him, pack your shit and let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And it was a super good move. He made some shrewd moves.
No, he sounds like a band manager. I mean, those guys are, they got to be tough. I mean, to deal with these four children.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. You know, did you get exhausted reading this book at times? Like reading about Alex's drinking?
Oh,
and yeah. I don't know. How do you get through a day?
I don't know. They're just chronic all day for years without any seeming ill effects. I don't know how they could do that.
I don't either. I didn't get it.
Eddie did get a little sick.
Well, yeah. But it took a long time.
Yeah. No. I mean,
yeah, they did run down eventually.
Yeah. Did you remember Sammy's book? Did you read
Sammy's
book?
Oh, yeah. I love that book.
Where when he first sort of met up with him for the what was the tour where they were switching lead singers.
Oh yeah,
and they were like just drinking wine out of the bottle. They were just wasted. The Van Halen brothers.
I thought the funniest thing about what Sammy revealed some really interesting things. One of them was that when Eddie had that clip in his hair, he was nuts.
Yeah.
He was just crazy, and you knew something nuts was going to happen. And it's the weirdest things. Like, why would he put that thing in his hair? And why would that? I mean, apparently, when he reached a certain level of drunkenness, he thought it looked cool or something. I don't know, but you know, watch out for him when he did that. And then the other thing was, Sammy had the tattoo of his tequila on his arm, and Eddie kept pulling his shirt down over it when they were on stage.
What?
He's like, "What are you doing?" He didn't want people. He was like jealous of his tequila company or something.
Oh yeah, he didn't want him to do the free advertising.
I guess I don't know. Sammy just didn't get it at all. He was like, "What the fuck? What is he doing?"
They were super jealous.
They were really jealous. They were. And Sammy was a good business person. And Sammy got his guy involved with the band. And, of course, they turned on him, too. Was it Ed Leffler? Wasn't that his name?
Oh, yeah.
Sammy's guy?
It's a while ago that I read that book, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too.
Yeah.
But I know Sammy did get involved in sort of the financial end and sort of trying to advise, hey, you know, you guys could be doing this and making more money. And I think in the end, they wanted every cent, but they were sort of jealous that, you know, he sort of had a knack for it.
They want to
piss them off.
Told. What
yeah,
to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't know what they were doing.
The part that I was amazed with was the manager. What was his name? Burl?
Oh, Milton. That's Milton Berle's nephew.
Was it?
Oh, Marshall really? Burl. Yeah. Oh, we talked boy. To Marshall Burl. Remember?
Did you guys?
Marshall Burl was Van Halen's manager when Noel took over.
Yeah. He's the one that took all the videos. All
yeah.
the nude videos.
Oh, right.
I'm just now putting two and two together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. He took them out. He didn't tell them how much basically everything cost to them.
No.
Like that contract that he involved them in was just such horseshit. And then
he never showed up either.
Yeah.
He showed up at that show in France, I think, the one big show.
Yeah.
And they were told that the headline or the other band wasn't going to be there. And he was like, yeah, whatever, you know.
And then in Japan, they took him out to dinner afterwards, like honoring the band kind of thing. And then he charged it back to them.
Oh,
and he tried to tell Noel, who's kind of pissed, and he goes, that's just the way we do things. And it cost him like $10,000.
You know,
that whole dinner?
That whole financial thing, you know, after that first tour when they were with Journey and Montrose, they got back and they're $1.2 million in debt. They had to work off a debt of over $1 million for, I guess it's the tour, the hotel rooms, the damage, the per diems they went over and studio time.
Yeah, everything. They had no rights as a band for the longest time. So he really did.
Huge. Well, Warner let the deal expire. They had to option the next two albums, and Warner missed a date. They just spaced out. Right. Somebody just really gapped, and Noel was keeping an eye on it, and he was aware of it when it happened. He's like, this is the best thing that could have happened to the band, because now they got to renegotiate from scratch, and yeah, they made a lot more money. Although, were you kind of surprised they didn't make more money?
Yeah, I was terribly surprised. But at that point, it seems like they were all at the pinnacle, and then they kind of went downhill after that.
You mean after Roth left, or you mean in the first couple albums?
He sort of got them out from under that onerous contract,
yeah.
And then it seems like they sort of wasted their
good fortune. The first record, of course, was great. The second record was good. The third record was not that good. That's when they had to spend $200,000 on Payola.
Right, yeah.
To get it played and to make it go platinum.
I can't believe they got away with paying that little. It just seems like nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's like $5,000 for New York, $5,000 for LA, $5,000 for San Francisco, $5,000 for Philadelphia, you know, for the top 10 markets.
What were we?
And then Detroit would have been $5,000 at the time, yeah, back then. Now Detroit would be a.
So who got that money?
Mid to large, yeah.
Who got that money?
Who got that money? Who got that money? Say! Yeah, I don't know. I heard some things about Payola actually around these parts at one time, but I don't know who got that money or who was spending that money. But that third album was just not that good. And then the fourth album was the one Noel. Did you read the whole book or most of it?
As much of it as I could. Yeah.
The fourth album had like four covers on it. It had a couple instrumentals, and Noel's like, really? It was only 31 minutes long, and he thought, this album is not going to do that well. And it did really well. I think it was a top five album.
I liked it.
This is a disco crowd. No. I mean, I think it was okay. It was pretty good. But then,
this ain't no new wave crowd. No.
Yeah. But 1984 was... I mean, that's what's so stupid about Roth leaving. They sold 10 million copies. I don't think they ever sold more than three at that point. So, but they were making like $1 million a year. And then I think when they when their sales upped, I think they made like $2 million a year. And that was why turning on that sponsorship deal was like, what? That would have been $300,000 a person. They weren't making that much money. When I saw that he turned that down, I thought, oh, God, they must be making crazy money. But then he was talking about the fact that they were making a couple million, which is a ton of money. But I just thought one of the biggest bands in the world would make more than that.
These motherfuckers are out of line tonight.
Oh, wow. 80% of what he said.
Written.
I would think the spontaneous stuff would probably be the dumbest. Would be my guess. I'm fascinated by stage banter. I really am.
Yeah.
And Van Halen has led the league in bad stage banter. I think no matter who the frontman is, because Sammy's awful too.
Yeah?
Sammy says really dumb shit. And he's always grabbing banners from the crowd. And he wants this display. And he's like, oh, some stupid banner. Jesus. Whatever.
You know, I can only speak about Van Halen because
I'm the singer in the band.
Don't you just love him, though? Isn't that what you want a rock star to be? David Lee Roth.
Y'all want some goddamn volume out there, don't you?
I mean, totally ridiculous.
I guess.
Still entertaining as hell.
Hey, he did fine. I mean, there's no doubt he got the job done. But I thought Sammy did, too. I didn't think. I never.
It's different types.
Yeah, different. But I liked a lot of the Sammy songs. And they sold a lot of those records.
They never had a number one record till Sammy. None of them hit number one.
1984 didn't make number one?
Number two.
No shit. Looking at
them. Yeah, and then the next four were all number one.
How do you sell 10 million copies and not make number one? Something must have kept them off the charts. Was that Thriller's year?
The Thriller.
Well, 84.
I'm trying to think of what was out in 84 that would have kept them from the top spot.
Do we both say it?
It's really funny reading as many books as I have about these bands. It's funny how stuff doesn't reach number one, and a lot of times it has to do with what's out at the same time or.
Drew, you nailed it.
Number one!
You nailed it. 1984 peaked at number two on the Billboard album charts.
By Michael Jackson's The Thriller.
Wow.
Which featured it, of course.
And he unbeat it.
Ooh.
Which he didn't get a point for because he loves me. And he loves me.
Allegedly.
Instead of being mean to me and asked for a point, but he didn't.
Michael's such a mean businessman, isn't he? Fucked over Paul, too.
Yeah. How could he not give Eddie a point for that?
Which we should have seen that. I mean, we know he's a criminal, so why are we that surprised by it?
That's the one question I really would have liked to have asked Noel, but he said, he kept telling him, if whatever you do with Jackson, ask for a point. And Eddie kept saying, oh, I just think Michael is so cool. I don't want to ask him for anything. He's like, oh, are you kidding me? He's going to make a ton off this. And that was the biggest song on the album, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Beat It?
Yeah, I think.
It was Thriller. I don't know what's bigger.
Oh, Thriller? Billie Jean. Billie Jean.
You know, I got no time to fuck around.
By the way, Thriller, does it seem dated to anybody besides me?
What are you talking about?
Allegedly.
Of course it is.
I'm not saying it's a bad record or anything. I'm just saying it seems of its time, whereas Purple Rain, I could listen to Purple Rain today and really like it.
But Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, the video makes it look so old and dated, too.
And plus, it's a Halloween song.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of a novelty song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Remember the
it's
scary...
the Bobby Boris Pickett of 84.
But even Billie Jean and...
I like Billie Jean.
It's okay. It's okay to me. I just think of it as of that period. I just would never... I would never take that CD and put it on in my car. Although I never would have in the first place anyway. I guess it doesn't say much.
Yeah. What about The Girl Is Mine that's on there with Paul?
That was maybe probably the worst record... Probably the worst song on the album, I would say.
It's possibly. About a girl.
Wanna be starting something...
I mean, those are all good songs. They're all good songs.
It's a good album.
I just think it's kind of, you know, I'm not putting it in the Donna Summer category, but.
No, I agree. Prince was much better and translates much better now, too.
To me, Michael Jackson and Prince, this is going to sound, some people are going to think I'm nuts. Prince to me is like David Letterman, and Michael Jackson is like Jay Leno, Johnny Carson. I don't know. I mean, Letterman was, in my opinion, I'll never believe that he wasn't the best late night guy of that period. But he was not the highest rated.
Yeah.
And I feel like Prince was kind of the same way with Jackson.
Prince is way more talented than Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he wrote everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played everything.
Not even close.
Better dancer.
But as far as better dancer.
Didn't molest children.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to compare. Okay. Jackson's a better pedophile.
Oh, no question.
He's better at molesting.
You know, somebody wrote us an email and said, I listen to the show all the time and, you know, really enjoy it. I've just never gone along with the Michael Jackson pedophile thing.
Huh?
And so I'm like, where is this coming from? So anyway, I wrote him back and I said, and I'm sure he's probably listening and that's okay. I'm not knocking what you said.
Thank
you're not
you
the only
thank
one who
believes. Thank you for supporting me. I love you.
I just said.
Is it signed from Jordy?
If you read his own depositions.
Of course.
You know, he slept in the same bed with a 12-year-old for a fucking year until the guy's father found out. The divorced father came over and what's going on? Where's oh, he's in bed with Michael. What do you mean he's in bed with Michael? Oh, Michael Jackson. He comes over and spends the night every night. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? And the father, who turned out to be a real asshole, but he put an end to it. And then, of course, the payoff, $23 million to Jordy Chandler. The trial, after every event where he was, you know, seemingly, at least people were talking about him and children and saying bad things, he would go on tour with a new 12-year-old.
It's BS. They made it up.
And who would do that?
They dress just like him.
Yeah, they dress just like him. They'd be in the show. Oh, my God.
Why do you do this to me?
Don't forget all the sick grand jury testimony that came out.
Oh, I know. No, it was Jesus Jews. And yes, yeah. And him making out with these kids. And you don't know, the one kid wouldn't kiss him. Right. You don't love me. And he starts crying.
And don't forget, hey, Prince, you're missing a good pussy over here. When he's looking at porn online. Prince is like four.
How in the world did any of that shit happen? And it blows my mind.
And Macaulay. Don't forget Macaulay.
Yeah, he has all the footage.
Who's never... Has he ever talked about any of that?
Macaulay? No. That's buried.
Neither has... Buried.
He's just wrecked, though. You know?
Yeah, Macaulay.
Psychologically wrecked.
Neither has...
Seems that way.
Who's the... 80s child, the other 80s child
star?
Oh,
Feldman?
Feldman. Yeah. We'll not talk about it.
Feldman's getting a little looser lipped than he used to be.
Really?
I have a feeling maybe it'll all come flying out one of these days in a book. Heads up, listeners. We have a new sponsor, the law offices of Tad Klimek. If you have financial problems or considering bankruptcy, go ahead, take a break. You need to talk to Tad. He specializes in personal restructuring known as Chapter 13. 15 years practicing bankruptcy law, Klimek Law is a small firm that offers personal attention and solutions for your debt problems. You'll work personally with Tad, and he will be at all your hearings. That's not something most people are going to say. Tad treats his clients the way he would treat a friend. Chapter 13s are different. They last for up to 5 years, so it's important to have a relationship with your attorney that sticks with it from beginning to end. And that's what Tad is pledging to do. Go to KlimekLawOffice.com to contact Tad personally. That's Klimek, K-L-I-M-M-E-K, by the way. K-L-I-M-M-E-K. KlimekLawOffice.com to contact Tad personally. Free consultation before you declare bankruptcy. Know all your options by speaking with Tad Klimek at the Klimek Law Office. And that's K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com. David Hall, rocking along, coming up with those mortgage rates for you and programs. If you're not paying close attention, you could be missing out on a chance to save money. We've had, I think, 5 or 6 letters now from people who've had great experiences on modifying their loans or getting origination loans, first loans. To make it easy to find out what your payment could be or answer any questions you might have, just click on the Hall Financial logo on the Drew and Mike podcast webpage and fill out the online form. No obligation to have your questions answered by a seasoned mortgage professional, and you won't be handed off to a pushy salesperson. Just go to the website, click the Hall Financial link. Just for you guys, or call 248-308-5000. Restrictions apply. Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435. And our friends at Adam want you to know, if you're getting a divorce, or getting a divorce is a lot like paying taxes. You have someone trying to take what you've earned. The more you make, the more you pay. But also like paying taxes, having a professional handle your divorce can save you a lot of headache and a lot of money. Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, specializes in representing men in divorce. Adam, aggressive, diligent, and uncompromising representation for men facing divorce since 1988. Call Adam today at 248-356-2326 or visit adamdivorcelaw.com. And I know I got one more quick message for you. If I can just find it. Here it is. Yeah, we all know our friends at Deals in the D. They sponsor this darn studio here. And they have some of the best deals in Metro Detroit. But during their Drive and Discover event, you can lease a new Ram Crew Cab for just $159 a month. This is a loaded four-wheel drive bighorn with heated seats, backup camera, and it even has a heated steering wheel. Make sure you mention your friends from the Drew and Mike podcast to take advantage of this amazing deal. They need to find homes for 80 of these trucks in June. I don't know how many are left, but I hope something happens before the end of the month.
Oh, I know. Those poor
trucks. We don't know what they'll do to us or the trucks.
Oh.
Check into dealsinthed.com and find your new Ram today, or we'll be playing a song for those poor Ram trucks.
Just picture them all in those cages, those poor cages.
And oh late, watching late night TV, they'll have a pan across all their sad little
headlights.
Grills.
Yeah. How sad.
You can really see into a truck's soul if you look into their headlights.
Especially when they're on the line like they are now. Yeah. It's like they're on death row.
Aww.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Did anybody see Megyn Kelly last night?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was... That first story.
Boring.
Apparently we're the only three people in America that saw it, but yeah.
The show's dying a slow death, but... I didn't, you know, it's funny. I don't think her show's that bad. I thought the thing with Alex Jones was, I thought she did an okay job.
Who's that guy?
If you don't mind being lied to. It's okay. She's not a bad interview, but
I'm not a fan of her. I'm not saying like I like her. Mind her. I think she's put out a decent show, though.
But when she does the little transitions where she's in the, she seems stiff. I don't know.
Yeah,
bunch of liberal trendies.
She's not very.
But I think she's an okay interviewer.
She gets the job done. I think she's not going to beat 60 Minutes.
No, they had a good episode last night.
It's funny how people get hot. Like Megyn Kelly, is this all about that debate where she asked Trump that obnoxious question and Trump got so mad at her and all of a sudden she's a super hot property. Oh my God, everybody's got to have her. And NBC paid a lot of money to get her.
Yeah.
A lot of money. And there was a little mini bidding war.
Silly.
And now, okay, here she is and it's bombing. We don't like her. Sorry. Sorry you spent all that money because we don't like her.
Well, what's amazing is they've tried that show before, and it failed when Brian Williams was up there.
Yeah.
Remember, what was it called? Not 30 Rock. Rockefeller Center.
Oh, right.
Which I liked that. That show was much better than what Megyn Kelly's putting out. Yeah. Well, it just looked better, and the stories were more interesting.
It seems like too much Megyn Kelly to me.
Yeah.
A little.
And when do you think she'd have a couple other people doing the stories, too?
Well, she does. She has Keith relaxed.
Oh, that's right.
The relaxed version of Keith Morrison walking around in Chuck Taylor's.
How could Keith Morrison be more relaxed?
Yeah, no, he's walking around Chuck Taylor's now. And they sent him to New Zealand to do a story.
Oh, like, boy.
And the week before, he was somewhere else. I'm like, is this just a vacation plan for Morrison? Is he just going around?
Well, he's got to be close to the end, you would think.
Oh, I don't blame him.
Although he's really good. I mean, he could do it. Those 60-Minute guys were in their 80s, for Christ's sake, still doing great work.
Morley?
Morrison's great.
Well, Morley Schaefer, died like the day he retired.
I know.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
But anyway, her first story last night was about the rehab centers in Florida and just what a scam it is. First of all, how in the fuck does somebody run up $1 million tab in rehab?
Yep.
$1 million tab? What? That's impossible. How this person had to be so fucked up they'd be dead. I mean, $1 million to fix somebody?
Well, because
they're addicted to drugs.
They
give
lied.
Me a break.
They lied. They were doing. They claimed they were doing labs on them and billing the insurance company.
They're billing over $10,000 for a urine test.
Yeah, no, it's horseshit. That's not even the worst part.
Gee, we wonder why insurance is so expensive. You know, is it really that expensive, or are they so stupid they let people screw them over and over and over, and they just pay stuff? Oh yeah, pay $10,000 a urine sample. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And then these sober houses are getting finder's fees for getting somebody in their sober house.
Yeah.
And they're paying the patient, too. Like, you got insurance? They said somebody was walking around town looking for people with suitcases. Hey, you got a suitcase. You must have. How would you like to come to our sober house? You got insurance? Yeah, I got insurance. Yeah, come on. And then the guy.
Still not even the worst part.
The guy running the sober house was giving drugs to the people so they could relapse, so they could go into detox, which is bigger money.
Well, he owned the detox place.
Oh.
He owned the detox place. So
they said detoxing is big money.
That's the worst part, yeah. So they detox, and he helps them relapse by giving them heroin.
Right.
So they can end up packing detox.
So it appears the only way to get a health insurance in this country is to just plow into some drugs hard and... And become an addict.
I assume they were all on their parents' plan.
Yeah, it sounded like they were. The one girl. Well, they start the story with this girl that died in rehab,
awful.
And the place didn't even call her family. She's died. And they're like, well, she's no longer making money for it. Get the fuck out of here, bitch.
True. They still haven't called her family.
No, I know. It's incredible. It's unconscionable.
Yeah, no, I don't understand why. Okay, it's a terrible situation. You're gonna have to send your kid to rehab. Why send them out of state? Once they complete the rehab,
people have this image of Florida as being the epicenter of rehab. I guess I don't know.
I just think you would want them as close to you as possible.
Yeah.
Although if that's where most of their problems started, maybe not. If their friends are around you, that's tough. You're really
Florida is like the portal for all drugs in the United States.
It's a portal for everything that's bad.
Yeah.
It's America's Wang.
I go there. Oh, speaking of drugs, the Cannabis Cup over the weekend in Clio.
Yeah. Is that the fourth year they've had it there? I know it's the fourth year in the Midwest.
What's Strand 1?
What? Oh. I don't know.
Does anybody know?
Did anyone follow up?
What's Strand? What's the big winning Strand?
I don't know. They have some pretty cool names for
That was always the biggest
competitors.
Part. That was always the biggest part of the story was, you know, Jack Carrar bet Bud won. Cool. And then you find out what it looked like. And, oh, my God, you get so high. It's great.
Now it's all corporate, and they have all these meetings about how to, you know, get your medicinal card or set this, set up your dispensary. Yeah. It's gone corporate.
How do you sign up for a medicinal card? What was that? I read the very same thing.
Yeah, it was that what do they call them? That meeting. What do they call them when you go to a junket? Whatever. But that presentation was at like 2 o'clock on a Saturday. How empty is that going to be? 2 o'clock on a Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, at the club,
the cannabis cup? Yeah.
Man, you'd think everybody would be just crashed. Two?
I know.
In the afternoon?
I don't know. I'm not sure how much of a party it is. Oh, the story about one guy who's there who has to I thought this was really weird. He was describing the fact that he's starting a new job, so he couldn't smoke at the cannabis cup.
Right.
Like, that's look how much self-control I have. You know, I've got to get this job. And they're like, wow, but you sure seem interested in all this reefer. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm totally interested. And then they give the guy's name, and I'm thinking, well, if I'm hiring that guy and he's at the cannabis cup, I don't care if he passes this thing or not. Obviously, the guy wants to smoke a lot of pot if that matters to the employer.
Yeah, but it shows that he has amazing restraint. He didn't do it.
It's weird how people think they're invisible, but they're on social media. But when he could just get fake urine, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how commonplace. Is that pretty commonplace? Do people do that all the time?
Fake urine?
Yeah.
I think fake urine business is pretty hopping these days.
It seems like it'd be a pretty nice way for clean people to make money.
Yeah.
The fake urine business. I've seen ads in the back of magazines for fake urine. And there's some superstar Wizinator, too, that's supposed to be, you know, so real, nobody will ever know.
Oh, yeah, Tom.
Tom Green?
No.
That's the first Tom that popped in my head.
From here, from Black Hawk Down, Tom.
Oh, Tom Sizemore.
Sizemore used the
Minnesota Vikings, didn't they use the Wizinator?
I don't know. Did Tom Sizemore get busted with a Wizinator?
He did.
That's right.
His Wizinator came off or something, or it looked fake.
Was it the right color?
I'm just trying to picture Tom Sizemore, the actor. You know, he seems like a really serious actor. Inquiring about the Wizinator with someone just seems like such a funny concept.
Apparently, he didn't ask enough questions.
No, I guess not. Yeah. I got to heat up my coffee. Kill 2 minutes for me.
Well, I'm going to queue up, one of the best news shows in the world, E! News, because E! News had DeMario breaking his silence from The Bachelor.
Oh, I saw.
He already broke his silence.
No, he's breaking
re-breaking
it again. He's re-breaking his silence, and he allegedly...
cries every day.
Huh?
His mother cries every day.
You're spoiling the...
Sorry. Okay.
No, he...
How can there be a breakage of the silence if there's no in-between? Like, he just breaks silence repeatedly?
Well, but like Drew said...
There's no silence.
We've already heard from him.
Yeah.
TMZ's been following him around for a week, but this is his first big sit-down interview, which is a story run its course yet. I thought we were done with it once Warner Brothers said, no, everything's fine, cool, we're starting to film again. But he's out there, and what I found interesting about this is he starts crying.
He cried?
Yeah, which is totally fake.
Did she cry?
Like... who? Corinne?
Yeah.
Corinne has yet to break her silence because she still has, you know, the lawsuit going on.
Yeah.
But he starts talking about it, like Drew teased about his mom being really hurt by this. And he talks about his grandma being really hurt and his sister. Oh. He's naming like every female. And all I can think of, what is your dad like high-fiving you? I mean, is your grandpa high-fiving you? Your friends, your brothers, are they all high-fiving you? I mean, he hooked up with a pretty hot chick on TV.
Yeah, well, she...
Although he couldn't get hard, so... What? That was part of it.
So his dad wasn't high-fiving.
Yeah, his dad was embarrassing.
Right.
Putting a bad name on our dongs. I've never not been hard.
All the women in his family were digging it, though.
One update on the Wizinator.
What?
You're right, Tom Sizemore brought the Wizinator into the public eye, being caught with one to avoid drug test. And it was Ontario Smith, the former Vikings running back, was busted at the airport with a Wizinator.
How do you get busted at the airport with it?
It must have gone through his bag.
Trudy, look at the pictures of it.
I think he had a dildo.
I didn't realize that they actually have penises. The Whizinator does?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I had no idea. Yeah. I just thought it was like a little tube.
Is it like
it's a fake penis you put on the end of your penis, and it has a ear in it. So when the guy watches you pee, he sees the fake penis.
There seems like a lot could go wrong there.
I think the temperature is what is always the biggest deal. If you have the temperature off and you pee cold.
Oh, gross. Who's testing the temperature?
Probably the guy whose job it is to receive the whiz.
Hey, this isn't warm. This isn't warm enough.
Puts a thermometer in it. He has to see what's body temperature.
He has to taste it.
If you just say that, hey, I'm a cold person.
Oh, wait, Jay popped me up here. Let's see what this says. You could play that theme song 3,000 times. It's not going to speed him up. Here you go. This is what you were wondering, Brandon. Is there no voiceover? It's the Whizinator instructions.
Oh, it shows. Wow.
Wait, pop me up again. What's with the music for the Whizinator? Man, that's a big old pouch of urine.
Wow, where do you put that? You strap it up somewhere in your body?
You put it in your butt.
Put it in your butt.
And then the cord wraps around. It goes around your perineum.
Clench it.
Oh, it goes on your waist. You have to wear it. Here you go, Brandon. You have to wear it for an hour to get the correct desired temp.
Oh.
There's a green strip on there. It'll tell you when it's warm enough.
No kidding. Very complicated. Somebody's brilliant who came up with this.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Unpinch the OC. So you have to kind of prime it, and then you unpinch the white clamp and...
I hope you had a hell of a piss.
Yeah, sucks when you get in there and then you turn out to be a hair test and then you're screwed.
And you're wearing someone else's urine on your body. I had a friend. He had to have a urine test a long time ago and he lived with his parents. And so he planned. This is a really amazing plan. You see, when you try to not get caught with something like the guy that created the Whizinator, it's a lot of... A lot of ingenuity goes into it. Necessity's the mother of invention.
Yeah.
So he planned out throughout the day. He kept filling up cups of water and jugs of water and putting it under his bed. You know, drinking water throughout the day, but he kept filling up jugs and putting it under his bed because he stayed up all night, drank all the water to clean himself out so he would pass the test.
Uh-huh.
And I
said, is this for pot?
Yeah. And okay. I said, well, why don't you go to the bathroom? Because the bathroom is right next to his parents' room. He goes, I just pissed my terrarium.
Oh no!
Like, are you kidding?
Nice. What? Oh, Jesus!
He passed. He passed the test.
Now, how often did this guy smoke pot?
Back then it was hardly at all. But he really had to pass this test.
So he just drank water like crazy
with Gold Seal.
Oh, with Gold Seal,
of course.
I thought they always noticed when you had excessive water in your
system. Well, now they do. Now they know if a sample's diluted.
Yeah, you know what?
Does anything work for doing that stuff?
No. They keep up-teching.
They know what the fuck is going on. They know when you're screwing around.
Did you see the story about Michael Floyd, the wide receiver, the guy that had the DUI when he played for the Cardinals? You know, he was passed out in his car. Remember that video? Totally passed out.
Yeah.
The Vikings have him now, and he's not supposed to drink,
mm-hmm.
and he tested positive for alcohol.
Oh, boy.
And they said it was because he was drinking so much of that, kombucha tea? Because it's got trace amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That was his excuse.
Nice try.
Well, that's what Lindsay was trying to say, too, right, when she was not supposed to be...
The Lowen?
Getting drunk, the Lowen, yeah.
Yeah.
She was drinking kombucha.
Oh,
and was like,
please.
Well, the Vikings backed him on it, too. That's the amazing thing. Too bad the courts disagree and he has to spend like a day in jail.
What is that dope Lindsay Lohan doing now? Is she enjoying her Muslim faith?
Oh, let's check her out on
Twitter. What she's doing. Remember she was wearing a burkini on the beach? But then I saw in a rather slutty bikini like 2 days later. Apparently she was taking the day off
from faith. From being Muslim?
Yeah. It appeared that way to me anyway.
Let's see.
Really, I think it's really hard for her to stick with stuff like that.
She got a job doing what?
Well, she bought all those bars, remember? She's yelling at everybody, told her to shut the fuck up.
She's going to be in the second season of the British comedy series Sick Note, so she's back on the screen.
Oh, wow. I'm
sure she'll be wonderful. I think she is the biggest dope That whole thing with that last boyfriend, who, by the way, she sued, I think. Or wait, did he sue her? Did she sue him? But that was the boyfriend who's like 22. You know, she's 31 or 32, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And he's some spoiled rich kid. Well, I don't know if he's spoiled. He's a rich kid. Probably spoiled. Anyway, he was driving his Jeep on the beach, and they were having this big fight, and she threw his phone out of the Jeep.
Yeah.
And they both, he stopped the Jeep, and they both sprinted to get to the phone first for some reason. I don't know why she wanted it. But, you know, all this is with, you know, a bunch of people filming, of course. Mark would have been furious if he'd seen all the people filming.
Hey, you remember the Detroit 187?
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Erin Cummings, the redhead.
Yeah. How's she doing?
Her. She said that she knew Lindsay when she came into the radio station to talk to us one time. She was talking about how she felt so sorry for her, like when she was in rehab. She used to visit her in rehab because no one would go see her. Oh, I know. Aww. Because Erin Cummings was a massage therapist at the time, and so she would see her in rehab, and that Lindsay just seemed extremely lonely and needy, and she would just, I mean, she actually raised a little doubt in my mind, you know, as to whether she was a sympathetic person.
Consider the fact that no one wanted to visit her. She did something to cause people not to visit her.
Yeah.
I don't know. She had such good parents to raise her. I don't know where's the
way. I know. Michael is such a great influence.
Yeah, and Dina.
By the way, where is Erin Cummings? She was fighting cancer.
Yeah, she was really sick.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very sick.
Oh, no.
But really optimistic. I mean, she had a great attitude. And the other one was Shannon Doherty was really.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she shaved her head and stuff.
Yeah, she looked rough.
I felt really bad for
that, but.
But, you know, Erin was, you know, I used to see her on Twitter from time to time, and then I just haven't been on Twitter that much.
Well, I'm looking at her Twitter right now. She's retweeted.
She okay?
It looks like it.
She, for the longest time, supported that local charity, though.
Oh, yeah. Mittens. She still has that.
She still, Mittens for Detroit.
Yeah, so. When she was here, it seemed to affect her. I didn't realize that Michael Imperioli was part of that show for the longest time. Until I started watching The Sopranos. Like, he was in town. I could have found him.
Damn it. He's been in town a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Erin, her Twitter profile picture is, it looks like she's getting chemo. Isn't that what that is, Trudy? Like a patch of chemo there.
Oh, yeah.
And her description is currently climbing the mountain, fighting the dragon, future survivor. So,
oh my God,
good girl.
It's terrible. She's so beautiful.
She looks really good in that picture.
Cool.
Yeah.
She was cool. She was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to watch John Oliver? Anybody?
Yeah,
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Tonight.
I watched
the thing
today
about Rob Schneider.
Hilarious.
I know. I love that. I absolutely love
so
that.
So funny.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I'm trying to remember what the Rob Schneider thing was. Oh, he's against vaccinations. Yeah.
Of course he is. What a dick.
Yeah, we really need to know what Rob Schneider thinks about vaccinating your kids.
And everybody's mad at him, and I'm like, wow, everybody in the world is mad at Rob Schneider.
Well, let me tell you something.
How dare he be mad at you?
We know that he doesn't take criticism very well.
No. Yep.
So he will have some outburst at John Oliver soon. I don't know what it'll be. He'll be investigating him or... You know, that whole thing where...
made fun of his dumb comment and his dumb hat.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be so pissed. Well, why was he angry with Seth Rogen?
No one knows.
Seth Rogen didn't even seem to know. I heard him talking about it.
I don't think anybody knows to this day why he blocked him.
Well, he's got a new show on, so he's kind of turned up a lot more. But this whole thing about vaccines, though...
It's ridiculous.
He may have subtweeted today, you know, based on this John Oliver stuff. He tweeted, "The rights of individual human beings should always come before those of the tribe or the collective." And that's all he really wrote today.
Moron,
shut up,
the
Schneider.
Collective is going to get measles from your unvaccinated brat.
Exactly.
Tard.
Sorry. Here's
the part from John Oliver, if you want to play it back.
2011, talking to the Somali community that we saw earlier in Minnesota, and presumably ending his speech with, "Trust me, I'm a used to be a doctor." And to be fair, Wakefield is not the only voice raising alarms about vaccines. He has company from across the political spectrum, from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the left, to Alex Jones, wherever the fuck he fits in, to even this guy.
You can't make
you can't make people do procedures that they don't want. The parents have to be the ones who make the decisions for what's best for our kids. It can't be the government saying that. It's against the Nuremberg laws.
Yes. That is Rob Schneider performing an impromptu rendition of his famous character, the annoying guy who is wrong. Because despite his misunderstanding of, among other things, what the Nuremberg laws are and what constitutes acceptable headwear for a grown man, Schneider has spoken out against mandatory vaccines for years, even once calling this California State Assemblywoman to debate the issue, prompting her to post on Facebook, "Let's be honest, that is 20 minutes of my life I'll never get back," arguing that vaccines don't cause autism with Deuce Bigelow male gigolo. And yeah, sure, it's funny, but, you know, hold on, lady. Let's not sully the good name of Deuce Bigelow just because of something that his portrayer Rob Schneider said. That's like implying William Wallace doesn't trust Jews or Officer Nordberg is a murderer. So, you know, try and separate the two. Now, the good news is, these days, very few people will say they are completely anti-vaccine.
That's
instead,
the end of the Schneider
like the president,
stuff.
They'll say, I'm not anti-vaccine.
The individual versus the tribe or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me of so many things where, first of all, the anti-vaccine crowd has, the guy who really did all the research, he's been completely discredited.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. So there's nothing to talk about. Whether Jenny McCarthy wants to go on and on about it, or Rob Schneider, or Robert Kennedy Jr., or whoever else, they're basically saying, I know more about science than all you guys do.
Yeah. No,
and you're putting your own child at risk. And this is another one of these cases where you've got, I don't understand this, how things that used to be, there used to be so many things where it was like, everyone knows this, you vaccinate your child.
Yep.
But now it's like, it doesn't matter what it is, there's always another, you know, it's always the other side. It doesn't matter how much evidence there's on this side, there's always, always, always the other side. And like he said, you can find people on every part of the political spectrum who think vaccinating is a crazy thing to do, or it's dangerous, or your kid will be, oh God, it's so annoying. Rob Schneider, are you kidding me? And exactly. His kid gets something and then gives it to your kid or whoever's kid, and it's a real problem.
And they were sort of they isolated a kind of a rare case, but where a kid had some – he was compromised in other ways, and so he couldn't be vaccinated.
Yeah.
And he was a baby.
Yeah.
And so they had to literally make him a bubble boy because of the possibility of Rob Schneider-ish people who hadn't gotten their kids vaccinated.
I like the way you said that.
Who would have laid waste to this little boy.
Right.
Because his immunities were.
So there's really a bubble boy out there right now?
Probably lots.
Wow. It's kind of cool.
I think the strongest point he made is, look, we don't celebrate every day that we don't have polio. You know, these diseases are eradicated for the most part.
Well, yeah.
And nobody thinks about it.
Polio and the measles.
It's ludicrous.
And smallpox, too, you know? I mean. Jesus.
I don't know. Believe me,
you're right,
I know.
Drew. I mean, there can't be another side of this.
I know. There's not the other side to everything. Some things are absolutely true. They just are. It's the way it is. It's science, damn it.
Well, people don't trust science anymore.
I know.
They don't. People don't trust science
anymore. No, I know
anymore.
They don't. But science, come on. There's certain things in science you have to put your faith in. You just do until there's some extreme evidence to the contrary. And by then, the scientists will have turned around because they'll have figured it out. It's science.
He did say in this, and this is really like a good show for somebody to watch on HBO, the Last Week Tonight version of this, if you do have questions about it, because he said that scientists may not express it very well. Like, they speak science-y.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And so some people are like, well, vulnerably, you know, I mean, and so they need to be a little more clear-cut with like dummies like Rob Schneider, or people who would take his advice, or...
Oh, I hope he's... I know he's so mad today. He just got laid into. And there's no comeback. There's nothing he can say. Although, I guess the rights of the individual are more important than the tribe. Is that what he said? The tribe?
Not when that individual can kill members of the tribe, it's not...
No, not
really.
Please.
God almighty.
Anyway.
So, kind of along the lines of, well, let's see, is it really connected to this? We were talking about the the elimination of class rank and creating all these valedictorians. So, you know, more people get awards.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the kid that's 11th in the class, making him in the, put him in the top 10 anyway, because he was only a couple points behind, which I think is so wrong. I mean, people, you learn to win and you learn to lose. Sometimes when you're a kid, that's character building. It's showing you that, you know, you don't always get your way in life. Some things you fall short. I think it's supposed to teach you. I always thought it was supposed to teach you to work hard and work harder so next time you will be in the top 10 if you're number 11. But there seems to be this reigning theory that, oh, can't we just put more kids in the top 10 if they're close? Mm-hmm. Or have 47 valedictorians instead of one?
So it'll feel bad.
Yeah, because then more people feel good. Well, I guess it's slightly connected, maybe not totally. Sunday morning on the Old Man Show, the CBS Sunday morning show, which we all watch for some reason, even though only one of us is an old man.
Well, two.
And you're not an old man. I act like it. Maybe at times.
Julie makes fun of me now because I get really excited in the morning to go water my plants. We were laughing about it. I said, yeah, you know what the worst part is? I thoroughly enjoy going out and watering the plants. I'm a total old man now.
It can be relaxing to do menial tasks.
And then I drink my coffee on the porch.
Oh, so
you want to see your plants grow. Me. It's exciting to see
an old cranky jerk.
I got a story about that, but go ahead, Drew.
Anyway, it was a story about how these high school kids are now getting these spectacular senior pictures taken where they're in action shots and they get the one guy with a football and he's going through a waterfall.
Yeah, because that's where you would take a football.
Exactly.
Through a waterfall.
A really rainy game. There happens to be a waterfall over the football game. And they were, you know, all these extremely elaborate sets. And, of course, at the end they revealed that, this costs, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. Oh. But, you know, it's senior pictures. And I'm just thinking, what was wrong with having senior pictures where people just look nerdy and, you know,
yeah.
You really need these exciting pictures to live up to these kids, to give them the senior picture they've always deserved or they suddenly deserve. And not to mention the fact that, you know, it's a lot of pressure for the parents that don't want to spend thousands of dollars on their fucking senior kid's senior picture.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't life expensive enough to have kids without having to spend $3,000-$4,000 on a senior picture because everyone else is getting one?
If you don't, you look like the bad parent.
Yeah, I mean, I see this all the time, people that have kids that age. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, whether it's the phones they have or the clothes they wear or the car they drive, which, you know, it used to be very few kids had cars and nobody had phones, but, you know, it's fucking expensive. And prom, everybody needs a limo now, and you got to have a new dress, and you got to have, you know,
tuxedo.
So much. And it's like, is this another case of, I don't know, I kind of saw it as, first of all, graduating high school is no big fucking deal. You don't deserve a medal for graduating high school. You show up and you graduate. You get your diploma, and hopefully you go on to something else, whether it's college or vocational school or I don't know what, but it's just, I mean,
you're right. You show
up. Did you think it was kind of stupid to make a big deal out of it? Like, congratulations, you graduated high school. No, everybody does. Not everybody, but I mean, most people do.
Yeah.
You should. It's you know, if you don't, it's because something went wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I mean, unless you didn't
show up.
Yeah, or unless you just
couldn't show up.
You have something so spectacular going on in your world that high school's getting in the way, which is extremely rare. I don't know. And I remember eighth grade graduation. I remember thinking this at the time, like, what's the big deal? Eighth grade? Aren't you supposed to graduate eighth grade? I mean, doesn't everyone graduate eighth grade? I mean, there's like three people that don't. I mean,
well, now they have kindergarten graduation. I've seen those on Facebook.
Come on. Please. Are you kidding?
There's no effort to graduate in kindergarten, is there?
No, you just show up, like Drew said.
Is the celebration of kids getting overboard?
Yes, they're
crazy?
Not all great.
No, they're not all great.
Not all kids are that cool.
I mean, why don't we wait till you earn something to take these spectacular photos? Mm-hmm. Maybe when you achieve something. Like, I don't know what, but it just, I don't know, it just seemed insane to me. I just pictured the parents that couldn't afford it, and I felt bad for them because I could picture, you know, first of all, your kids going, everybody's getting these cool pictures but me, and these parents being sort of pressured into ponying up the money for it, even though it's just stupid anyway. And the pictures, by the way, they were acting like, oh, my God, how cool to have a... It's like, that's not that cool. It's dumb. I thought they were dumb.
I'm reading.
Fake.
I just I just Googled senior pictures, see what would pop up. And there's 25 senior picture poses that'll make you want to go back to school.
Oh, please.
Number one, use Scrabble tiles.
Oh, my God. Like, everything's a Pinterest contest.
Yeah. Blow confetti.
Oh, I see.
An idiot.
Oh, okay.
Remember the promposals that we talked about?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Show.
Promposals.
It's on tonight, by the way, promposal, right after Sweet 16, Super Sweet 16.
Oh, you set that for to record?
Yes.
I need to watch these important shows. What time is Super Sweet 16 on?
You know, I have a, what's it called, like a season pass?
Yeah.
So it catches it when it's new, but it's always new at different times.
It's channel 331 here. I know that.
About
I watched
water.
The one last week, by the way. The family didn't seem that wealthy.
No, last week's was kind of...
Kinsera?
Yeah, Kinsera.
Kinsera, yeah.
She was pretty.
She was pretty. Did the mom get her the second dress, or did the mom blow off the second dress?
Of course she got it for her.
Okay, I thought so.
But they left it at home.
I know, that's the part I saw. So I thought maybe the mom didn't buy it, because I didn't see the end.
They had to send Uncle Jose to go pick it up. He was the big hero.
Kid was having a shit fit. Where's my dress? This will be ruined if I don't have my second dress.
Your dress.
Oh. Fuck you. You got a beautiful first dress. You don't need a fucking second dress. Get over yourself.
About
15. Jesus.
Watering plants, though.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Isn't it awesome?
Joey's got 40 tomato plants that he's growing.
What?
And this year he's branched out into hot peppers.
Yeah, that's what I'm growing, too.
And crap like that.
Oh, we should get together, him and I.
No doubt. Because he goes out and he's enraged every morning because now animals have gotten wise to the fact that it's all up on the deck. Last year they didn't know. This year they're all on that. And so every morning there's somebody ate my basil, and he's having a shit fit. And so we had a cage.
What?
An animal cage.
Really?
And he baited it the other day with some seeds or nuts or something like that, and two squirrels got trapped inside and fought each other.
Sweet! Did he videotape
to the death?
No.
Thunder, no cage match.
But they were
two squirrels enter.
They're both.
No one leaves.
No one gets out of here alive.
See, the minute when the dumb squirrel gets in and he's nosing around, and then he hits the trap thing and it slams shut on him, and he like. Hunches down.
He goes, oh, shit.
Little crappy little hands all splayed out. And then he's trying to chew through the fence. And then this other one accidentally was in with him. And so and triggered it. You know,
awesome.
One of them triggered it. With the other one was really careful. And then this other one caused to be trapped.
That one squirrel's never going to hear the end of that one.
Yeah. No wonder there was a fight.
We went out and they were like, and then, you know, they'd break apart and try to get out, and then they would tangle again.
Oh, my God.
This little furry ball.
Oh, intense.
Yeah.
No.
It was pretty wild to watch.
Where are these squirrels today?
We let them go.
Joe, I thought Joe would sentence them to life.
Well, you let
for screwing with his plants.
You let a possum go.
Yeah, we caught a possum the first night. That thing was
so wrong with you,
Trudy.
Oh, a possum!
I took him someplace else, though.
What did the possum do? What was it doing?
It just sat in there like
it was bummed out. It was depressed.
Yeah, and hissed.
Oh.
But mostly just sat there like, I am the ugliest. I know I am. And now I'm trapped.
Oh, boy.
We took him someplace else.
Life sucks.
Trudy put it in her car. I said,
in a plastic bag. No, in a plastic bag.
In a plastic bag.
Well, it's
could
in a
chew
trap.
Through that
in a,
plastic
it's
bag in no time.
In the big garbage bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it crap itself or anything?
It crapped itself.
In your car?
Not in my car.
Oh, sell that car.
Outside in the yard.
Of course.
I can't believe you let it go. I would not let it. The only good possum is a dead one.
It's way far away. Yeah.
I don't know what is going on with me, but it must have something to do with age. I am getting such a soft heart for dogs. Any dog story I see where somebody fucks with a dog, I get so mad. It's like, you know, I watch three stories about drive-by shootings. Yeah, killed a 9-year-old, killed a 12-year-old. I was like, no, the dog, are you kidding me? Whoa, God. I hate seeing dogs, like the guy that shot the arrow through the dog.
Oh
my God, it's like, couldn't it have been a human? Jesus. A dog? Yeah. No.
No,
it's terrible.
I know how you feel, yeah.
You're not feeling sympathy, though, for those squirrels, are you?
A little bit.
Really?
I mean, it would be kind of tough to watch, you know, animals who have all that freedom trapped in that cage.
They were only trapped for a little while.
I know.
But
okay, what if they were rats? They're both rodents. They're both gross.
Rats. I don't know. I don't have the same feeling about rats. Not even close.
About raccoons and possums.
Raccoons are bastards, man.
They're awful. Yeah, they're
terrible.
Worst.
They are. They're really cute, though.
They are.
There was somebody I saw online today. They posted this video. They're on the subway in New York City, and someone had their pet raccoon on that subway. I would not be able to get off that thing fast enough. I would have freaked out.
Oh, I know. They're awful.
Oh, they're the worst.
Yeah. True.
Ugh. That possum you let go has probably made it already, Trudy. Good job.
I don't know. I felt like he got far enough away. We let him go far enough away that it would take him a long time to get back.
He found some new possum tail. He's banging away. Like this. That stupid face and that rat giant tail.
My dad rescued some baby raccoon.
And
then he raised it for a while.
Ugh.
And they loved it. It was like their little...
And then he turned on him.
And then one day they had it in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, boom, it was like rabid.
See?
Yeah.
And tried to kill him.
Just jeez.
Out of nowhere.
Wow.
One day it was cuddling, the next one it wanted to kill him.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't trust a raccoon.
A raccoon.
You can't. Hey, did you guys hear, I hate to change the subject because animals are so fun to talk about, but did you hear about the college that fired their professor who went on this rant about Otto Warmbier?
Oh.
Yeah.
Said he was young, rich, clueless, white male who never had to face the consequences of his actions.
But he did.
What does she fucking know about him?
He did
face the consequences. He was fucking killed, you idiot.
If he even did anything wrong.
Yeah. Did you see the video of Otto, by the way?
Yeah. That was hard to watch.
I know. But as Mark was pointing out, you can't tell if it's him in the video.
I know.
It's just a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shadow, if anything.
So I didn't know what I thought about that, although I didn't give that much thought until I saw 2020, and they said, you know, you can't see that it's actually him.
No,
you can't. But even if it was him...
It's a goddamn poster.
Why not just scare the shit out of him and let him go? I'm dying to know what happened to him, but the family doesn't want to do an autopsy, so I guess we're never going to know.
I wonder if he would have been let go if he didn't get injured. Because it sounded like he got injured, 2 weeks or 3 weeks after he was sentenced?
Yeah. Got injured? What does that mean?
Well, they said it was, a blood clot? Most neurologists think he had a blood clot.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
As in North Korea didn't do anything wrong?
No, sure they did.
They don't know how that happened, but no skull fracture.
Okay.
Right. They didn't find...
They certainly didn't treat it right away.
Right.
No.
But they said, judging from what kind of a blood clot it was, that it was like a holistic brain incident instead of being, you know, like from a blow.
Oh.
So they figured it, some horrible treatment or mistreatment probably triggered that.
Yeah, they're not so innocent.
Poor kid.
Well, they said botulism.
Well, that was a big lie.
And he took a sleeping pill and he never woke up. That was what they first said.
Once again, ridiculous.
But they're really bad at excuses, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't even try.
But
this is another case where because she's not the only one who's made shitty comments about Otto Warmbier. It's like this. I swear, 20 years ago, this had been one of those things where everyone would have just said,
"So wait,
fucking North Korea, you bastards!" But there are those people on the other side saying,
"Well, that took a poster down. You're not supposed to do that in North Korea. You should know better." Yeah, but this lady, this professor, sounds like she didn't like him because he's a young white guy who had the means to travel all over the world.
Yeah. No, clearly she has a problem with his privilege.
That's not his fault.
I do think it's stupid that these kids want to go to North Korea. I don't get it at all. And this will probably put an end to a lot of it, I hope.
Yeah.
That adventure group, too. Goodbye and slam the door.
Oh, I know.
What
the? I couldn't believe that guy. You know, he's at the airport and they tap him. You know, you're coming with us. And the guy's just like, "Yeah, see you." I thought the people that took him there would jump in at that point and go, he's part of our group. What's going on?
Yeah.
But no, they just nothing.
We should have sent Rodman over right away. We waited too long to send Dennis over.
I agree. He could have cried and got him out of there.
But I don't know if Potcoin had the means to send him right
away. Put his ambassador jersey on or whatever.
What a dick.
Hey, did anybody see Shania Twain on the Today Show the other day? Or
no. CNN? How's she looking?
She looks good.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize she was gone so long. I mean, I did kind of know she was gone a long time, but she hadn't done anything in like 15 years. Yeah.
I wouldn't have known. I would have noticed.
No, I mean, I'm not a country fan, so I didn't give a shit, but I just wondered what What the hell happened to her, if anybody knew?
Is she still with Langer?
No. They split
Didn't
up.
Didn't that end badly?
Yeah, he nailed the next-door neighbor. I think it was the next-door neighbor, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Next door for them is probably a mile away. Or an island away.
It was. It was like a mile away. Well, I mean, I read about it. I was just curious because I just saw this story, and I saw on the she was singing a couple new songs, which people probably didn't want to hear. songs.
Did Matt act excited about her? Or, I mean, who introduced her?
It was GMA. It was
Good Morning America.
Robin and the gang.
Not only was it their neighbor, he nailed her best friend.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. It was bad. It was bad. And to be honest, though, does she belong with Mutt Lange? Isn't he like 70? She's only 50.
Well,
I think she was like 30 and he was 50 or something. And then this was just 10 years ago or so. And I always thought, what is she doing with Mutt Lange? He doesn't look like he belongs with Shania Twain.
I'm just reading about him. And it says, after hearing Shania Twain's music, he got in touch with her and they spent many hours on the phone.
Oh.
So he heard her more like
the Muttster.
More like he saw her in a video. Yeah. Got her on the phone right away.
Yeah, she's pretty. She still looks great. Huh. Today in rock for June the 27th, and we'll start with 1967. Mick Jagger found guilty of illegal possession of two drugs found in his jacket at a party given by Keith Richards. He was remanded overnight at Lewes Jail in England. He requested books on Tibet and modern art and two packs of Benson and Hedges cigarettes. Those aren't those chick cigarettes?
Yes.
Benson and Hedges.
Benson and Hedges 100.
Come on, Mick. Jeez. 1968 on this day, Elvis appeared on his comeback special on NBC. That was the leather, you know, where he's...
Oh, yeah.
Elvis's big comeback.
The crowd is way too close to him.
Yeah, it was
awkward.
It was a weird deal. It was, but he sounded great though, and he looked cool. I thought
it's very neat.
It looked like Elvis was almost like going to join the counterculture, but not quite. I mean, it was like he's still kind of cool. Because then you know the jumpsuits and being huge.
I mean, what was the name of it? I want to see it again. Elvis.
His comeback special on NBC. If you Googled Elvis's NBC comeback special, I guarantee it'll come up.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, he looked really good. He lost weight for it. He was already getting fat in 68.
Man, those people are way too close to that tiny stage.
He just wears a leather jacket with nothing on underneath.
He sang some bluesy stuff on here that was actually pretty good.
He does it a little high. How
he was getting fucked up by then. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you fast forward in a song or two?
Hey, where's the good stuff, Elvis?
Wow, those people are
way too
way up
close.
In there.
Yeah, he's in the round, isn't he?
Yeah.
Stage banter.
I do one more song for you because we have another audience waiting to come in.
What?
Man, I just work here.
Hey, good one, Elvis.
Why is he doing two shows?
What a gig.
Someone from the Jordanaires make a crack there.
I think I'll put a strap on this.
You're fired. I'll do a little talking.
Oh, he's going to put a strap on us, so he's going to stand up and do the power.
Oh, how cool.
With everybody right there at eye level.
Yeah,
probably will.
Oh, it would. Hey, no strap.
Do you have a strap for this?
I can't do it.
You have a strap for this, man?
Yeah, let's kill 10 minutes get a strap on the guitar.
Put on a chair and just set it on there.
They're having a show meeting during the show. Who does that?
Jesus Christ. How unorganized.
Right, here, I found the edited version that NBC actually aired.
I'll do one more song for you, then...
Bringing another crowd in, man.
No strap.
I got no strap, mama.
Okay, let's move on to 1970. The three-day Bath Festival of Blues and Progressive Music in Bath, England took place with Santana, The Flock, Led Zeppelin headlined in 70. So they were, that was pretty progressive event, I would say. Hot Tuna, Country Joe. But it seems like there were the, sort of the, what's the term I'm looking for? There were
the house bands,
festival bands, right. Like Country Joe.
Country
Joe
and the Fish.
The only time I ever hear about him is he's playing at a festival. Yeah. Jefferson Airplane too. They were there. The Byrds, Dr. John, Frank Zappa, Canned Heat. That's a festival band
that
too.
Is. Mm.
The same day, Jackson 5 started a 2-week run at number one with "The Love You Save," their third number one of the year. That was a great song. Hmm. I love those Jackson 5s. I still love those Jackson 5 songs. And I like that when Michael did his. That final This Is It, which was supposed to be his concert, and he played a couple Jackson 5 songs. I thought those were the best songs of the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the same day, boy, 1970 was a busy day on June 27th. The Transcontinental Pop Festival, known as the Festival Express, there's a great documentary on that. The tour is unique, and rather than flying to each city, most of the acts travel on a chartered train. Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin, The Band, Flying Burrito Brothers, and Buddy Guy's Blues Bands all travel together. And there's that is a good documentary, really, because you see a lot of offstage stuff. And also the same day, Queen featuring Freddie Mercury played the first gig at Truro City Hall in Cornwall. They were billed as Smile, Brian and Roger's previous band from the booking had been made originally. And
I love that first album of theirs. I mean, it doesn't get played hardly ever.
No, it doesn't.
Yourself Alive.
Did that have a hit on it?
It did. Keep Yourself Alive.
Oh, Keep Yourself Alive, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good song, and you never hear it.
I don't know. Did that song get a lot of airplay, though?
I thought so back when I first started listening, but I was listening to MMS.
Oh, MMS.
WMMS.
Out of Cleveland?
Out of Cleveland.
You picked that up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you listen to Kid Leo?
Yes.
Where's Kid Leo?
Betty Corman.
Is he still on the air? He's not, is he?
I don't think so. Yeah, we went to Jamaica with Kid.
What?
The Toledo. I was with the Toledo station, IOT.
Uh-huh.
We did a joint junket to Jamaica. Kid Leo was never seen.
Oh, really?
He was too big.
Gone.
Too big for the listeners.
You get going.
In 1980, Led Zeppelin appeared at Nuremberg, Germany, during their last tour ever. And the group had played just three songs. Drummer John Bonham collapsed on stage, causing the remainder of the show to be canceled. That wasn't when he died, either. Must have been pretty close, though. 1980? I didn't know they played in 1980. That's funny. 1987, Whitney Houston became the first woman in U.S. history to enter the chart at number one with Whitney. Now, her music, I have to say, I find so dated. Maybe it's because I never liked it. And I want it to be dated because I want it to go away.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, is there a Whitney Houston song you'd like to hear right now?
I never got into that.
I'm shaving off my muff.
What is, for you. Wasn't her big song?
Dolly Parton's song, of course.
She had other ones.
Did she write anything, though? Did she write music? I don't think she did.
Great question.
1992, Michael Jackson played the first night of his Dangerous World Tour. Oh, he's dangerous, all right. At the Olympic Stadium in Munich, Germany, the tour consisted of 69 shows, played to 4 million people across three continents.
Wow.
All profits of the tour were donated to various charities. I don't believe that. I don't believe all profits were donated.
No.
It says they were to the Heal the World Foundation.
Probably a portion of the profits.
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
Proceeds.
I don't believe that.
No way. let's see. What else do we care about? 1998. This is important to Canadian listeners. Anne Murray, Gordon Lightfoot, and Brian Adams each officially received a granite star on Canada's Walk of Fame on King Street in Toronto. Ooh. What other big Canadian stars are there, by the way? How do they fulfill that Canadian
Rush.
Content thing?
Yeah,
oh, Rush, yeah.
Alanis Morissette.
Triumph.
That's right. Triumph.
I didn't say good.
Nickelback.
Yeah.
Nickelback, yeah.
Okay. 2002.
Avril Lavigne, isn't she from
Canada? Yeah, she's from Canada. That's right. Sure. June 27th. Yeah, Bieber's from Canada.
Biebs!
One day before the scheduled first show of The Who's 2002 U.S. Tour, bass player John Entwistle died at 57 in his room at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. He'd gone to bed with a stripper, but woke up at 10 a.m. to find Entwistle cold and unresponsive. Oh, boy.
Yikes.
That was a real shame because he had all this blow in his system, and he's with a stripper, and he was married.
Yeah.
So, it was too bad. Mm. And he's a good bass player.
Yeah.
And the whole tour, I think, was to make him money. That was the point they went on tour, because John Entwistle was broke again.
Well, what did the money go to then after that? Did they just donate it?
I don't know, because they never did the... It would have been... Yeah, Pete and Roger continued, and I think they got his brother Simon to play bass, didn't they?
That's right, yeah.
It seems like what they usually do. Rapper Mystical pleaded guilty on this day in 2003 to charges that he forced his hairstylist to perform sex acts on him and two bodyguards. Mystical had been charged with aggravated rape. He agreed to plead guilty and was sentenced to 5 years probation for rape? Aggravated rape? 5 years probation? Really?
Oh, hey. He's famous.
I wonder what Mystical has done since, if he's changed his ways.
He's going to go to those Bill Cosby sentence. Seminars for sure.
It's M-Y-S-T-K. Wait, M-Y-S-T-I-K-A-L.
Wasn't this Big Hong Shake That Ass or Shake Your Ass?
Oh, is that the song?
Yeah. I think that's Mystical. Yeah, shake Your Ass.
Good for him. $6 million. Oh, that's his net worth? Okay, so it doesn't hurt him too much.
Wow.
2009, Black Eyed Peas went to number one in the U.S. album charts with the ENDN, the group's fifth studio album. The album's lead single, Boom Boom Pow, topped the Billboard Hot 100 for 12 weeks. I got a feeling replaced Boom and spent 14 weeks at number one, giving the group 26 consecutive weeks at the top of the charts.
Wow.
Oh, boy, the charts were very challenged in 2009.
Drew, from what we learned from reading Run with the Devil and Noel Monk,
yes,
about how the charts were manipulated.
Yeah.
It's not based on sales or what you think.
I know.
It's clearly like the, you know, Billboard.
I've never seen anyone admit to payola, by the way, like Noel did in that book.
Yeah.
Literally $200,000 to pay off all these stations. They start playing tracks from a Van Halen album they didn't want to play anything from. And what do you know? Record sales go up. So it's like you can play anything and people will buy it. Somebody will go, oh, I like that.
Right.
Even if somebody had decided, no, we're not playing this Van Halen. It's crap. Although I don't really remember that third album. Did you know the album they were talking about?
No.
The Pale album?
No. I don't know. It's just him saying it was weak. But the thing that he said, the Warner Brothers head, the honcho, was like, what position do you want to be on the charts? Where do you want to start out?
Yeah, right.
And he goes, I don't know, like 40th or something like that, so that we have room to gain. I had no idea you gamed the charts that way.
That was really strange. I didn't quite understand that. Women and Children First was the third album.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Okay, wait. Are we talking about Fair Warning? Because there's Van Halen, Van Halen 2, Women and Children First, Fair Warning, Diver Down in 84. I think Fair Warning was the bomb, actually, that the payola was for. That should have their lowest, of the first six anyway, that should be the lowest selling. Like a million, maybe platinum once. One times platinum, does it say, Brandon?
Two times platinum for Fair Warning.
Is there a one times platinum record in the first five?
No. Diamond 5 times, 3 times, 2 times, 4 times, and then 84 was diamond as well.
Okay. Wait, what was the first diamond, the first album?
Yeah.
Oh, it's diamond?
Van Halen, yeah.
10 million?
Yeah,
okay.
Huge album.
Wow. I don't think it sold that many. The first couple years, I think it's the Kazaa catalog album must do really well. I'm just guessing. Okay, and Chris Squire, 2 years ago, the bass guitarist and co-founder of Yes, died at the age of 67 after battling leukemia. Great bass player. The only member to appear on each of their 21 studio albums. That's funny to think Yes is still out there. The Moody Blues, Jay was pointing out their dates on there. The Moody Blues are still playing.
What?
That seems impossible, doesn't it?
How old are they?
They've got to be 70. But, you know.
Is that Knights in White Satin?
Yeah, Knights in White Satin. I always liked The Answer. I thought that was a cool song. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. You
Why do we ever get an answer? It had a real fast section and it slowed down real slow.
Yeah.
It was kind of a cool song.
I think that's the band, was it the Moody Blues, where they have violinists or something?
Are you thinking of ELO? ELO?
Oh, it was ELO. Right. That's right. Where one of their cellists was driving along a country road and a hay bale just came out of nowhere and killed him.
Oh.
What? What?
Yeah, I remember.
Out of nowhere, like from the side of the road?
From up in a field. I remember what? Doing a piece of trivia one day about that. And I was like, you know, just freak accidents that have happened to classic rockers. And this was one of them where the dude's just driving along in his, whatever, his British car. And all of a sudden, a hay bale just rolls down the side of the hill and wipes his car out.
I did not know that story.
And killed him.
Mike Jeez. Edwards from ELO was killed by a hay bale.
Jesus. Wow, what a story. I've never heard that story.
Yeah.
It weighed 1,300 pounds.
Whoa. What?
Rolled down a hillside. Why? And collided with the van he was driving.
Damn.
Why'd it roll down a hill? I mean, gravity, but.
Court case concluding two defendants being found not guilty of charges relating to the accident.
Was somebody pushed it down the hill? Oh, it's the rest.
Anybody go, heads up!
Was he, he was a cellist?
Yeah, the cellist.
No shit. Well, that Overture 105, whatever that.
I'm sorry. That was a creeper, Brandon.
What? I didn't even hear what he said.
Hey! Bail!
Hey!
Bail!
H-A-Y. Oh, boy.
That was funny.
Whew, sorry. What'd you say?
And when things are funny, it's great to point out that they're funny.
Why not?
Look at that dude, man. He looked ancient.
The yellow guy?
Yeah. I suspect.
What year did that happen?
2010.
When they didn't want him in the band anymore. That's the question.
They rolled the hay bale.
Of course not.
Hey, Mike, just drive down that street really slow. And then the first time it didn't work. Well, I drove down the street. Why drove me down? Oh, go back the other way. They rolled another one instead.
Did anybody notice at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that ELO had Jeff Lynne and what's the other guy's name? Roy. He's the guy from The Move. No. He's the guy from The Move who went with Jeff to ELO and was really a big part of The Move, and then he was on one album.
Roy Wood.
He did not play with ELO at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was there, but he didn't play. And Bevan, I think, is the drummer's name. He didn't play. He didn't even show up.
Huh. Really?
What the fuck?
Wow.
Because, I mean, at least one of
Jeff?
Them. Yeah, I just got the feeling like, I don't know, were they mad at Jeff Lynne or something?
You know what
the deal was.
I think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just loved him, Jeff Lynne.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He's done a lot, too.
Definitely.
So he was probably just the sort of the one they paid
for. Oh, yeah, I agree. They definitely wanted to put him in. I don't know if they – Roy Wood was only in the band for like one, maybe two records at the most, and I think Jeff was pretty dominant force in the band. I wondered if it had something to do with Jeff Lynne re-recorded all their greatest hits in 2014.
Yeah.
And so – I have a feeling that nobody's making money off ELO but Jeff Lynne anymore.
# dick moves.
Yes. You know how many people are doing that, though? People do it all the time. They re-record these their greatest hits, and they scrub all these people from them who don't get writing credits. They only get performing credits, and they no longer have performing credits.
Well, wait a minute. Jeff Lynne isn't entitled to the royalties that the other people are getting, right? He doesn't get that
money.
He
wrote the songs, but now he's getting the performing credits, too, because he's performing their parts on the re-recorded greatest hits. Or they have hired guns, you know, who get paid a performance royalty, maybe, but they don't get a continuing royalty. I can't understand why in the world he would re-record them. I heard something about, oh, he wasn't happy with the original. Bullshit. They've been selling it for 35 years. I'm sure it was okay. And I just thought that was interesting. And I noticed that John Waite re-recorded Missing You when we were talking to him.
Yeah.
I was looking at his discography, and all his hits have been re-recorded for his. Yeah. Or the ones that he could re-record, he did. And whatever.
Man.
I think it's a money thing. I don't know why else you would do that. Because you figure, you probably sound better at 25 than you do at 60.
Yeah, right.
And Jeff Lynne, too, although I read that he still hits all the notes. And actually, the re-recording sounded fine. It sounded just like the original, but he's a real studio wizard, so.
How bad do you need money, though? I mean, you really want to ace everybody out of their.
I know, I don't. It's like the Michael Anthony thing. That's really not entirely that unusual. I thought it was terrible that they did it when the album had already sold a couple million copies, and it's like,
yeah,
you're all retroactively, fuck you. But there are a lot of bands that when things start getting further along, somebody says, you know, I really write all this shit. Why are you getting a royalty, a songwriting royalty? You're just playing a stupid bass part. Well, anybody could have drummed that.
Didn't the Stones do that?
Well, Jagger Richards are everything. They screwed Marianne Faithfull out of she wrote Sister Morphine with Mick, and she was supposed to get a credit and never got it. I don't know if that's ever been fixed.
I doubt it. Unlikely.
I doubt it. No, they always make a big deal like, oh, no, everything's Jagger Richards. Everything. We can't put her name on. It's like, no, she wrote it. Why wouldn't you put her name on it? what's the big... Because everything's Jagger Richards. What? That doesn't make sense to me. Wow. It'll fuck everything up. Greedy. Okay, so we'll screw her out of that money. Jeez. I guess nobody's making enough money. So how dare we give a little chunk to Marianne Faithfull?
Jesus.
What's she doing these days, by the way? When Nita Pallenberg fell over, I was expecting to hear what Marianne Faithfull was up to. I think she still tours, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, people go to see her, too. She had a career. Why? I don't know why. I wondered the same thing, Mark. When Anita Pallenberg died, it's funny, I was looking up Anita Pallenberg. I was reading about it, and for some reason it said, you know, see Marianne Faithfull, because she banged, you know, a Rolling Stone, I guess,
yeah,
and lived a pretty checkered life. And she had those hits in the 60s, like As Tears Go By and a couple others. And I think McCartney gave her a couple songs. And she did a comeback album in 79 called Broken English, which used to get a lot of college radio airplay. Yeah, used to get a lot of college play. Yeah. I never thought it was that great, but it was really critically acclaimed for some reason. And so there she is. When I looked her up, she's on YouTube. She's out there playing stuff, and it looked fairly recent. At least she looked old enough that it must have been recent.
Wow. Hmm.
She looked pretty ancient to me.
She is looking pretty ancient.
She lived on the streets for 10 years doing heroin.
Whoa.
I know. She was she had a rough life.
Actually looks fairly good for living on the
streets
for 10 years.
I agree. Yeah, for being homeless for 10 years. I mean, that doesn't say much. For being homeless for 10 years, she looks great. She actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering, although I have to believe with her fucking jeans, if she wasn't homeless for 10 years, she'd look better.
Yeah.
Because she was hot, man.
Yeah.
In the 60s? What a cutie.
Yeah. She suffered a broken hip in 2014.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Underwent surgery.
Did she fall? Did she take a spill?
She had to postpone parts of her 50th anniversary tour, but I think she got back on the horse after that.
50th anniversary tour? Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah, there was stuff on YouTube from 2016. Yeah. And there's this big band. It's funny. Ever since we saw that Peter Criss thing at that little theater, I see these big bands and I go, oh, those guys are making $50 for this, I guess, because she's taking the lion's share and there isn't that much because there isn't that big a crowd.
Wow. Yeah,
why I always get obsessed with how much money is being produced. Well, it just intrigues me.
Because you figure that's why they're doing it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And also,
is it really worth their while?
Kind of, yeah.
Do they really have that little money to begin with?
Well, you know what else surprised me? It's like, is there really still commerce in Marianne Faithfull's music career? It blows my mind. And she's playing all these shows in France. And I'm thinking, oh, France must love Marianne Faithfull for some reason. Nobody else wants her to tour but France. And she's got these crowds and this oversized band. It's like, what does she need all those people for? Wouldn't it be better just send her out there with one guitar or something?
Oh, yeah.
And pay him $1,000 instead of $50?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, did you see Salvador Dali? They're going to dig him up.
For what? Why are they digging him up?
See if he still has his mustache. That sweet mustache.
To fix the handlebar.
It's
re-waxed.
I saw this today that I was like, Salvador Dali? Why? But because there's somebody who has a paternity claim against him.
Like a
woman that her mother said that, you know, she laid it down for Salvador Dali, which has got to be the weirdest thing.
Got it on.
And that he, you know, so she's entitled to some of what he had.
So they want
to
swab his mouth? Open the grave and swab his mouth and send it back down?
Ew.
I know, sorry.
No, but they said he had a death mask or something like that he wore.
That sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so they were going to take skin and mustache samples from it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird. But he's melting, so.
Sorry to hear that. But it's to be expected.
Like his best work.
All right. Jay, you want to take us out of here? We'll... I know we're talking to Dave Grohl's mom tomorrow.
Aww. Hi, Bobby.
Virginia Hanlon Grohl.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
She did a book talking to all these mothers of rock stars.
I got a haircut.
Sounds hip.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
What are you looking at over there?
Oh, I was just laughing at Ted Williams. Hi, Bobby. I got a haircut. Oh. That's what he was.
Oh,
so,
Ted Williams.
That's what he was so proud of. I haven't
mommy,
seen you in 10
mommy,
years.
Mommy,
I got
mommy.
A haircut.
Oh, God, he's weird. What's
I know,
he doing?
I'm going to get you. Wait, what is he going to get? I'm going to get you Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sure I'm your daughter. I haven't seen you in 15 years, and you're going to get me a Louis Vuitton. Everything's even.
I got Stacey Adam glasses.
From cradle to stage, stories from the mothers who rocked and raised rock stars. She actually went out and met and flew around across the country, met up with all these mothers of, you know, Cobain's mother, she
yeah.
knew, and Dave Matthews' mother in Charlottesville, and wow. it's actually pretty interesting. I was surprised because I thought, should I even get this?
You think she asked Dave Matthews' mom about the time they dumped all the feces in the Chicago River?
The first thing I thought of when I saw that chapter, I swear to God, she did not.
What?
To my knowledge.
Maybe we can
ask her.
Maybe not for the book.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll see ya!
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to apologize for the sound of the guitar. The sound crew is on heavy narcotics this evening right here.